This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. I'm Andy Atherton, your host, and I want to say thank you once again for joining us tonight. We have a great show and a great guest, very, very well known here around Place to Be Nation and over here on the Puck feed, even though his shows are on the wrestling feed, Mr. Justin Rosero. JT, how are you tonight?
What is up, Double A? How are you tonight?
I'm good. It's August. Mm-hmm. That means, kids will be back in school in a month, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it's a hybrid. Yeah. I guess it's good in a way because they're not around constantly, but I do like not having to make lunch or worrying about it in the morning, like getting them up and ready and that crap, and just dealing with school events and stuff. So that part of it's nice where you can just kind of do what you want. But on the flip side, yes, they stay up later. They're always around, on and on. So
yeah,
it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I'm a little older than you, so my kids are at like a different – it's going to sound like Dadcast for a second, one of your shows, but my kids are like kind of like the opposite spectrum of yours. Like, I have one going to be a senior in high school. The other one's going into seventh grade. And yours are what? Your daughter is what?
7 and 4. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got a second grader and a pre-K?
Yeah, he'll be in his second year of pre-K. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. You got a lot of fun to look forward to. It's good, though. I do miss those years, and I don't miss those years, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I she's very strong-willed, and he's a bit of an asshole. So,
I can't really say that about my daughter is too much of her biggest thing is she tries to be a parent to my son who's 5 years younger, and he's just a ball of energy, still is. And he's very like, when he wants to do something, he wants to do something. When he wants information, he wants this, wants that, dad, you know, that whole mom thing from Stewie, that's my son. But like I said, we're not doing Dadcast. We're here to talk about a movie.
If you ever want to come on, though, we do it twice a year, I think.
Let's talk about a couple of your shows quickly before we get into the movie. Speaking of like once or twice a year, there's No Holds Barred with you and Mr. Aaron George. We guys talk about a variable amount of topics. Your last show, you talked about the GWWE project. You want to just say what that is quickly?
Yeah, it's a project we have going on over at Place to Be Nation on Facebook and also at our message board at bigelow34.probars.com. If you've been following any of our stuff, this is the third straight year we're doing a greatest WWE ever project. Right? 2 years ago, we did the greatest singles wrestler ever. Last year, we did a tag teams ever. And this year, we're doing the best pay-per-view/TV match. So the gist of it is we have a huge list of nominees. And the idea is you're supposed to spend most of the year kind of doing some research, watching matches. And then at the end of the year, usually – like December 31st is the cutoff. I think we extended the tag team one last year a little bit, but you submit a list of your top 100. Then we kind of assemble the votes, we tally them up, and then do a stack rank of what the greatest 100 plus any honorable mentions are. So it's a lot of fun. We actually have a group chat where we talk weekly and do a bunch of matches once a week. So if you want in on that, just reach out to me and we can get you involved. Usually it tends to be Thursday or Friday night, but we vary by the week. But that's a lot of fun doing that. And it's just cool because, whatever, you're going to watch wrestling anyway, so why not just do this project?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And some of your other shows, let's just go over quickly, all on the wrestling feed, even though you, like I said, you hear on the pop feed quite often. The Place to Be podcast, the show that started off with you and Mr. Coscolo, who is a frequent co-host or guest of mine as well, and that's, every other week. And you guys are in, I believe you're just finished Survivor Series 1989, which I really enjoyed that show. Both the wrestling show and the podcast.
Thank you. That show. So we started that in February 2011, which you're right, pretty much started all the podcast stuff. And we've gone strong. I mean, back then we were doing like two shows a week at 2.5 hours-ish, 2 hours. So we had a lot of content back then. But yeah, we've slowed. As more shows came up and commitments just came up, I know, and it's honestly less so the actual – recording time. It's more of the prep to go into, like, because now we're pretty much straight Vintage Vault refreshes, you know, reviews. So it's like finding the time to watch these 3-hour shows during the week and do it weekly was getting to be kind of a bear. So that's why we ended up going every other week.
Yeah, I've been on the show once, and it was like I had to, you know, put time aside to do it. I mean, when out of my shows, I think Year and Pop, you know, we have a big, long, like literally like 10 to 12 page Google Doc that I type up. You know, sometimes I do it like a couple weeks before the show. Sometimes I do it like an hour before the show. And that way Scott and I and George and D'Amato, have stuff to talk about. You know, we go through it. We have a format. And yeah, it's a lot of work. I believe you. I greatly appreciate what you guys have been doing for so long. I've only been doing it for about a year now. It is a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. Even with Scott. But it was, you know, and back then we were doing headlines and different stuff too. So it wasn't as much prep necessarily. It was just kind of reading the news of the day and reacting to it. And we did live watches as well a lot. So, you know, we've kind of, as we've whittled down how often we record and just really gone, we used to do interviews too, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we really cut back on the types of shows we do. And with that, yeah, just comes the time crunch. Plus these 15 other shows I got going on where I get to prep stuff as well.
Yeah, some of your 15 other shows, you have Wrestling War Zone with Mr. Chad Campbell. When you guys do that, that's about the Monday Night Wars, which is probably the best time to be a wrestling fan ever.
Yeah, and I love doing that show, A, because, like, you know, Chad and I have been good friends since 2012. And we had never, you know, we had like had podcast episodes together, but never really done like a full project together. So I reached out to him and he was in. And what we like about it and what we're trying to do with it is it's not really about like the memorable moments per se. We're trying to find like the hidden gem stuff, yeah. Right? Like the promos you might have forgotten, the matches that are thrown out there that you don't remember. Stuff like that is what we're really aiming to look for as we dive into the era. And it's not even – we're not even into the wars proper, yeah. Really. We're kind of getting there. We're in early 96 now. And that show should be back in the next week or so, finally, whenever this drops. But yeah. It should be back in by mid-August because Chad's – and down south, they do things all kind of weird, Andy. So
yeah, I know.
Kids go back to school like in like early August. So his family's headed back to school, and he'll be able to we'll be able to do some stuff at night again.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Chad on Laughing Theater, and you know, hopefully I'll get him on for the next month or two. Yeah, speaking of the Monday Night Wars, I think I saw on Facebook today, 22 years ago today, I think, was – Bastards of Beach, where Hogan, you know, joined the NWO, basically, and formed the NWO with Hall and Nash. So,
a little bit not today, because that would have been July, not August.
Oh, okay. Oops, sorry.
My bad. Misinformed.
Misinformed on Facebook. Facebook lied.
Them right and wrong again, Andy.
Yes. that's my forte. And then we have your newest show with Miss Jennifer Smith and J.R. Senior D'Amato, filling that void of ECW content that we had here,
So I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. The extreme three-way dance.
It's very extreme. And that's another one. So I've been, and I talked about this on the pilot, but I've been like really wanting to watch ECW for a long time. Cause it's stuff I haven't really seen before. And like, I've had no excuse now that literally everything is on the network or available elsewhere at this point, like everything. So, I was just trying to think of who would be interested in it. And, you know, I was trying to think of different people I don't have shows with. So I think Jenny and John will be interesting because John saw a lot of this stuff at the time. Jenny's completely new and I'm kind of in the middle. So I think it would be kind of a hybrid of like Warzone and talking WCW that they do, you know, where it's it'll be match by match, show by show. But I'm looking more of it like conceptual versus just like straight review. And tonight, as we record this, the premiere, or I was just saying episode 2, but it's really kind of the premiere of the official timeline. We'll begin with the night the line was crossed. So hopefully everyone enjoys that. I think, we're finding our way. The three of us have never really done much together. So it'll take some time, I think, to get the groove. But
I
think this first one was good. Yeah.
Lucky enough, growing up in the Northeast, a wrestling fan, I watched it on MSG. So I probably have as much knowledge as Johnny, although, as you know from my appearance in the trivia and whatever, I have, like, the shittiest memory of probably anybody here at Plays of the Nation that I have seen, like, so much wrestling, I can't remember squat. You guys are, like, you're not Bennett Savants, but you guys, like, know so much more, and I'm just like, what WrestleMania did Edge win at?
I'm good until a certain cutoff, and then it dwindles for me big time, but, like, anything in, like, the last, like, 6 years or so, 7 years. I have no clue, like any of this stuff.
Certain things like stand out to me, but like I couldn't tell you when this happened, when that happened. That's what.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I remember more from like now. I tie it if it's tied in some way to the podcast or like Nation gatherings or something. I remember it like, and that's it. Like anything other than that, like if it was something that big that happened that we talked about on the show or happened during the show or we were at it live with the group, group, you know, something like that. I remember, but just random pay-per-views in the middle of 2015, like no chance, you know.
I remember when you guys got up to, I think it was whatever WrestleMania in 2007 was, and I'm like, why do I have no recollection of this WrestleMania? Oh, because my son was being born that day. So he's actually, when I told him that fact, he was like, he's a wrestling fan now. You've met him. He's like, I was born day of WrestleMania. Yeah, awesome. So yeah, he loves that. And what else was I going to bring up?
Jeff Lynn's wrestling.
Jeff Lynn's wrestling. Yeah. And also we talked about Dadcast also. Yeah. You do once in a blue moon.
Jeff Lynn's wrestling also once in a blue moon.
Yes. Who I met Jeff, a very nice guy. Fun show to listen to. So what we're doing tonight though is Laughing Theater, and we like to pick a comedy. And Justin, what movie did you choose for us to watch tonight?
So I, as you know, I have like a list of like seven movies, right? I couldn't decide.
I literally everybody has like a lot. That's one thing I think it's a good thing about is that, you know, there's some everybody loves comedies, and it's been great with getting everybody on and seeing the list from everybody, so then I kind of get to know them a little bit, what their taste is. But yeah, as you were saying, you said about seven movies. And
I literally wrote them down, and I started like debating myself. I'm like, and every time I think of one, and then I think of another one, and then I tangentially relate that to another one. I'm like, oh, I forgot about Old School, and then this and that, you know. So I was trying to tie it up, and I like the '80s comedies as well. '90s is an interesting time for comedy movies. I feel like there's a little bit of a dip. I feel like it's, you know, besides the classics, like you've done Dumb and Dumber, and then there's Ace Ventura and stuff like that. But I feel like there's a gap from the 80s until like the late 90s when like Something About Mary kind of reignited it.
Yeah.
And then there's all the ones of the 2000s. Like, you know, one of the ones that was top of my list, and I'll just say, because I don't think anyone else will probably pick it, but it was Semi-Pro is what I was going to do originally with Will Ferrell, because I think it's so underrated. But my fear with it was that it's very dialogue-based, like extremely. Like you get to hear the lines to really appreciate it. But then I kind of had an epiphany, I guess, to go with the theme of the movie, in that, you know, after my grandmother's funeral and the episode I did with Jeff on Jeff Lynn's Wrestling, and honestly struggling a lot as a father who was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school like my whole life, but has been having issues, you know, like where I am with all that stuff. And now all of a sudden with children that are, you know, of age to, do we go to CCD or we're going to do First Communion, you know, like all that stuff and where I'm at with all that. So like all that put together made me then remember a movie I'd seen obviously in the late 90s, I think it was like 99, right? This came out.
Yeah. 1999.
Yeah. And I've seen obviously a bunch since, Dogma, right? The Kevin Smith movie. So I'm like, you know, and I thought back to it, and I'm like, I think this movie encapsulates a lot of kind of the feelings I've been having of like this push and pull, and you know, the way Catholicism and church is taken like way too seriously, and that there is, you know, everything can be funny, right? And I think Kevin Smith, when you look at it, I feel like we're kind of symbiotic in this, and I think he, you know, he's well known to have been raised a Catholic, you know, and all this stuff, and like he didn't write this movie to rip on Catholicism, right? He wrote it as like kind of this opus of like, okay, I was raised this way, and I'm battling these same issues about you know, what the church is and what it should be and all that. So like it speaks to me on that level. And I also think it's really funny.
I went to Catholic school too. I started in fourth grade and went all the way through, went to an all boys, you know, high school, and then ended up actually transferring to college that was Catholic. So, you know, I had to take religion and stuff. So yeah, I believe me, I get all of what you're saying, you know, and having kids who are in CCD or not in CCD, and you know, my parents still go. Well, my dad still goes. My mom doesn't really leave the house since she had a stroke a number of years ago. But my dad's still an usher every Saturday when he can. You know, I've become an E&C Catholic, unfortunately. And sometimes that's more than just the C. So, you know, but, you know, to me, it's you know, I still have faith. It's just, you know, just don't go. So, you know, for the most part, you know.
Well, and I think that's part of it, right? Mm-hmm. We'll get into it, I guess, as we watch the movie, because I think I do find it an interesting topic, and I'll just throw out a caveat. Like, this isn't meant to be inflammatory. It's meant to be self-introspective. I'm going to probably say stuff that if you are dietable Catholics, probably may offend you, I guess. And I may say stuff that if you are very anti-Catholic may offend you as well, but it's just kind of my thoughts and where I am right now, with everything. And I think it's top of mind given how it's tied into just the world and politics and everything right now anyway. So that's where I'm at. And that's why I chose this movie, because I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me and you to talk for 2 hours about the but before we get out of the way, you are a Kevin Smith fan? Like, are you a fan of his movies?
Oh, yeah, big time. View Askew Universe fan. Loved Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I to this day, Mallrats is one of my favorite movies. I just think that's one of the funniest, well-written comedies of all time, with, you know, Michael Rooker's in it too. You know, that great Stan, probably, you know, everybody loves the Marvel MCU Stan Lee cameos. That has the greatest Stan Lee cameo. You know, for him and Brody to be sitting there, and Brody's like, come on, wait, now the thing, like, is his dork made out of orange rock like the rest of them? Because we really didn't cover that, you know, that kind of stuff. That's such a great scene. I'm curious to see, I think it's Jay and Silent Bob, what is it called, Hit Back or something like that?
It's a reboot.
Yeah, it's a reboot. It's actually coming out. I actually have it, if I could call up the schedule.
October.
So you may hear that on Pop Goes the Movies.
Yeah, that's one I'll see. And it's funny because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he's gotten divisive. Like, I feel like he's very, like many folks, if you don't like it and you're not into it, especially some of his later stuff, I think you just, like, a lot of people have just turned overall on his world. But I do like the universe he's built and created. I can't say I've seen all of them, especially like some of the shorts or the newer stuff, but I've seen the big ones, right? And I've seen Clerks, I've seen Mallrats, I've seen Chasing Amy, seen Dogma, saw Jay and Silent Bob. And then, you know, that's just in the View of the universe. I've seen his other stuff too, which I enjoy. I think I'm one of the few, I'm pretty on record on this one of the world of PTV, but I liked Jersey Girl. Like, I thought that was a pretty good movie.
I've never actually seen it. I've seen Red State. No? Have you seen Red State?
I have not seen Red State, but that's like a horror movie, right?
I'm not into that. It's more like a thriller. There's some fucked up shit in it. But yeah, if you're not into like a horror, it can be considered a horror movie, but it's more like, yeah, like psychological kind of stuff. Like, you know, basically these guys get, you know, in with a captured by a cult, basically, kind of thing. So yeah, it's messed up.
So I haven't seen his newer ones of those, because I know he has kind of transitioned that way. So I thought Jersey Girl's fine. I mean, is it his best stuff? Is it a great movie? No, but I think it's like an enjoyable thrown on mindless film. And I also really like Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
I liked it. Yeah.
I think it's funny. And I think Justin Long is like amazing in that movie as the gay porn star. I think he's so good. So anyway, I am a fan, and like, I definitely saw Dogma in the theaters. I was in college, and I remember it really well, because one of my friends from home came, and she was excited to see the movie, and we went like with a big group, and I just remember it was like pouring rain, and we had to drive, like, it was like maybe a 20-minute ride to like the movie theater. And that's all I mainly remember about the night, but I definitely remember going to see this like pretty soon after it came out. And then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I definitely saw like probably within a week or two of it coming out. And that was one of the first DVDs I think I bought
when I've never seen Dogma Theater. One thing I could recommend, Al, if you've never seen it, would be An Evening with Kevin Smith.
That I've not seen.
All right. Actually, well, you know, next time I make a trip to, as Jennifer would say, the Coke and Sugar parties up in Rhode Island, I actually have them on DVD, so I'll let you borrow it. It's basically him doing like kind of like not a one-man show, but it's like a monologue kind of thing where he tells stories. And the best one is him telling a story about Superman, when he was hired to write that. And then he talks about like Wild Wild West and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun to have. That's one of those things where the guys like show up and like, hey, can I show you my screenplay? He's like, dude, get out of here. But it's a lot of good stuff. If you're a Kevin Smith fan, seek it out. And even Kevin Smith, and I think he did two of them. So, and they're available on DVD and stuff. I don't know, maybe Amazon, I don't know. But
I will say this. I think the PTV and Mania tailgates are closer to Coke and hooker parties than
Yes, it was just clean, hot and sweaty fun.
Yeah, I love to every weekend since has been like the perfect mix of warm and cool. It's like those fucking 2 days, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, it's even the next weekend, it's like when my sister had a party for my niece and nephew the next weekend for the birthday, and I was like, by like 7 o'clock, like, you're in a sweatshirt. I'm like, fuck, where was this last weekend? You
know? Yeah, that would have been perfect weather. Yeah, it was a little hot, and you know, it was just a rough ride home just from being tired. Right. You know, I just had a similar ride home from Six Flags New England. So, yeah, I got to stop doing all this driving sometimes. Anyway, before we get into the movie, sorry, 1 second, just talk about Placement Nation really quick. Like we've talked about, we have the two feeds, the wrestling feed, the pop feed. A little something for everybody. Check it out. Go on Facebook, like all of our Facebook pages. The big thing going on right now is the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament. We just started round two after it seemed like a never-ending round one. but now it's going to pick up some speed. I think, you know, the first round took about 6 weeks. I think this round is going to take about 3 weeks and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's just started August. So this is going to go till October. But, you know, we're getting into, like, you know, really great battles every day. So check it out. Six battles a day. Unless the math doesn't work out, sometimes it might be less to end a round. But, you know, check it out, all that stuff, and go on the pro boards and the website. New content, new articles up every day. All right.
There is.
All that out of the way. Are you ready to start? Now, this is the most interesting out of all the Laughing Theaters. The one movie you can't find on DVD, Blu-ray. I mean, honestly, a lot of stores aren't stocking a lot of Blu-rays or DVDs these days.
Right. So, unless you live in Scott Carscola's apartment.
I think I owned this at one point. I think I got rid of it because when I was purging, you know, something that, again, that Scott Carscola doesn't do with his DVDs. And it's not on Hulu. It's not on Netflix. It's on YouTube. That's how you're watching it. My daughter found a website, I guess, that she watches movies through, and I was able to get the subtitles up. So that's
actually watching the DVD. I do have the DVD.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. I've had it forever, so I pulled it off the shelf. I loaded it in my PS4 over here. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that almost stopped me from choosing it, was knowing that it's not easily available. So I feel bad, because I do know some folks do like to watch along with these as they listen, but hopefully you'll find it entertaining as well. We'll try and keep the conversation flowing.
Yeah, it is on YouTube. The reason why I'm not going through YouTube was because I found one that was good, but no subtitles. There was another one that had subtitles, but they were German, so it was like no perfect version for me. So luckily my daughter is all over the interwebs, so she knows all this stuff, and she found me a website. Hopefully it doesn't buffer or freeze up on me while we're watching it, but if not, you know, you'll hear Justin until I get something going. But yes, okay. I wish I still had that DVD. I might still even have it. I just never looked for it in all the boxes and bins that are in my basement for my move still. Anyway, so we both have up on the screen, if you start in the movie, it says disclaimer. Number one, a renunciation of any claim to or connection with, or two, disavowal. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're going to start. Okay? Ready? In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
All right. Hopefully the PS4 can process a disc this old. But we'll see. This has to be one of the original DVDs ever made.
All right.
Because I'm pretty sure I got this pretty soon after it came out, like on DVD.
So I'm on the seven lines thing.
Yeah, this is basically like what I just said before we started.
Yeah.
All right. This is just
it's like, yeah, it is not meant to be taken seriously.
But down it is, right? I mean, it is really trying to – he's just giving his thoughts on what this all is about.
Yeah, it could give you food for thought.
Yeah.
Even God has sense of he says, even God has sense of humor, just look at the platypus, which I remember – did you ever see Robin Williams Live at the Met? It's a very – one of Robin Williams' bigger, well-known shows. And he does this bit. He's like, people say, you know, there's no devil. There's only God when he's drunk. And you think God gets drunk. You think he gets stoned too? Look at a platypus. I think so.
All right. So this is obviously a callback to that. Mm-hmm. And now they're apologizing to platypus enthusiasts and on. So anyway, obviously meant to just be tongue in cheek about, you know, and I wonder if that was originally planned, that disclaimer, or if they threw that in after, you know. Mm-hmm.
So here we are in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
And the Bigelow's walking on the beach.
Ski ball.
Yeah. Some old guy.
It's actually, this is the actor is Bud Cort, who is most well known when he was a young actor, was the young guy in Harold and Maude.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Kevin Smith loves to, and then you got the Aaron George threesome back there, the demonic hockey players.
Very demonic. Yes, they're rollerblade hockey players. I'm kind of confused that the boardwalk is this empty at this time of day.
Well, I think it's the winter time too.
I think. Oh, is that what it's supposed to be? Yeah, I guess they got jackets. I don't know. They only got like light jackets on. It might be like fall.
Yeah, it's not. It's not summer. And this guy gets a crappy, very typical '90s fashions. Right. There, one kid's got the flannel and the hat, and another kid's got the jersey, another kid's got
baggy, very baggy hockey jersey. Mm-hmm. And they also have like those like a bee swarming noise when they attack this guy that comes into play. And here's a great first appearance is the Cardinal played by George Carlin
In Red Bank, New Jersey, which is where Kevin Smith is from. You can actually go to a comic store, which I've been trying to get to for years because Red Bank's not far from where my aunt lives in Jackson. but it's called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I have heard of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is like they're kind of starting right away with the kind of takes on Catholicism being kind of moldy and played out. And the whole gimmick here is that they're introducing a brand new Jesus, right? Yes. Instead of the you know, well-known crucified Jesus hanging on the cross that's in the church in every bedroom of every Italian family out there. you know, they're trying to spice things up. So this cardinal's going kind of off script to boost attendance and, you know, boost, you know, it's implied boost money, right, to the church by bringing in more people with, of course, what would be known as the Buddy Christ, of course.
The Buddy Christ.
Do you like the Buddy Christ? Like, would you be okay with that if you walked in church?
I mean, I think he's a... I mean, I wouldn't be... I'm not offended by it. Like, I think... You know, it's like, hey, this is a good place. It's happy. We're cool. Thumbs up.
I'm your friend.
I'm your friend. Look at you, big guy. Right. There's Brian O'Haron, and also known as Dante from Clerks.
In every movie. You get those guys that are in every Kevin Smith movie. He's one of them.
Yeah.
So now we're in Milwaukee. Matt Damon talking to a nun dancing about religion. Of course, Damon and Affleck are two big Well, more Affleck is a big Kevin Smith movie guy, but Damon, too, is in a bunch of these things. And this is kind of, I guess, would you say this is their initial peak, these two?
Yeah, around then. 99, yeah, because it was like the whole Ben and Matt craze.
Right. You know, when was Good Will Hunting, 98, 97?
I could tell you in a second if I call up on the old IMDb here.
I want to say 97, except I remember like seeing it freshman year in college. That would have been 98.
97, yes. That's when it was the whole Ben and Matt show at the Oscars. So, yeah, you have Matt Damon as Loki, and you have Ben Affleck as Bartleby. And basically, they're looking through a loophole to get back into heaven after they've been kicked out and sent to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I wonder if Steve Willis has been kicked out. That's why he's over in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. They're basically portraying Milwaukee as purgatory.
Yes.
And Matt Damon is basically trying to talk this nun out of being a nun. Right. And that's kind of like his sport, that is hanging in an airport. And Ben Affleck's just kind of watching and laughing. So they haven't really announced yet that they're together.
Yeah. They just we just saw like fonts come up with their character names. A very Kevin Smith-ish costume with the long coats and the, you know, the hoodies underneath.
Oh yeah, and then very 90s and God, Matt Damon looks young. I mean, not that he's aged really, but
they both look young. I mean, this is 20 years ago. Yeah, so.
True. And this looks like just like a kid. You know what I mean? Like more than like again, he has not aged poorly in any way. But
I love keeping those guys on their toes.
I feel like he's a handsome man. I'll say that.
Yeah, I remember. I hated Damon so much for years because he was such a prick in School Ties.
Yeah.
He was such a dick. Affleck's in it, but he has, like, no lines.
And Damon just looks like an asshole. Like, it's easy to – like, if I was in college with that kid right there, like, I did, like this guy right here. And they're kind of, like, showing off that they have this intuition and knowledge of all-knowing. You know, like this couple just reunited at the airport, and Affleck's just informing Damon that he cheated on her or whatever, so, or she cheated on him. So basically, Damon doesn't know why they're at the airport. Affleck's trying to talk about why they're here. And he's figured out the loophole to get back into heaven. So I think it's an interesting premise already. And you're already getting like the normal kind of, you know, Smith dialogue base. Only here it's really based all around Catholicism versus just like the kind of, you know, banal stuff that would be talked about like Mallrats or Clerks, which is meant to capture just the malaise of like a teenager. And now we're kind of taking this next step to where like this whole movie has a lot of this ongoing deep conversation, but it's all just about like Catholic beliefs and dogma and all that stuff.
Yeah, so they have the archway, and if they can pass through it as, I guess, mortals, then they clean their slate and they get back into heaven after they've been booted.
Right. So have they said why it's this church in particular? That part I don't remember. Why they said this archway. Is it some special archway?
No, well, it's because, he's saying like the whole new Catholic Church thing. And we're saying, you know, we want to get people back here. So it's like, you know what? Come here. Walk through the thing. All is forgiven. Right. You start over.
Right. So they're doing that, and they're basically saying, go in there, get clean slate, and then die, and they'll go back to heaven as angels again.
So they have to cut their wings off.
Right. Right. So he's actually fine going back as a mortal to heaven, not as an angel, which is what he's saying. So they'll die, but
they'll be in heaven.
Right.
Yeah, and they don't know who sent them this information now.
Right. They just received this newspaper, and so Damon's not really buying into it. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like I don't know, I'm gonna call it a metaphor, but a symbolic of like confession, right? So mm-hmm. go to confession and you go there and you get your sins forgiven. And I always hated, I never like going to confession. Obviously, I don't think anybody does. But did you ever have to do face to face?
Yeah, they made us do that in Catholic school. I mean, I always liked the because then you get the looks from the priest.
Right, and you're in there like you're sitting right next to him, and like you have to. I mean, you're like kids. You haven't done anything that bad, but and then just knowing like. Obviously what many priests have been outed is what they've done. Like just knowing like, man, they were just had to be trapped in this room back there with this priest, you know, like any of us could have been at any point, just victimized at that point. You're really just sitting there face to face talking about your sins. And like, I even think about like, does some of the praying come in from that? Right. And I don't mean it with an A, I mean with an E, where if you go and you're, you know, how many kids confessed to things of a sexual thoughts or nature, you know what I mean? And like, just like opens the door, especially if you're in that room. So anyway, I'm not going to go too much down that path, but again, this is all this kind of tying into my current issues with everything going on. And the Catholicism wow stuff always spoke to me too, just because I am a big believer that the church as a whole is incredibly antiquated. It's like baseball in many ways, where they're not going to add new fans because it's so antiquated and uncool or unhip everything is. And I don't know if there is a way to make it cool or hip ever, but there is a way to bring it more modernized when it comes to how they view the universe and the world. And just like baseball could be better with robot umps, you know?
Now, Affleck's like, but now, you know, they noticed that they acknowledged that, you know, Loki was the angel of death, but there hasn't been one since he quit. And the basically great line in there, he goes, wow, if I had a dick, I'd go get laid. And like, what's the next thing? Let's go kill some people. And they kind of talk about MUBI, the corporation, which you see in a lot of Kevin Smith movies.
Has made and that was food. But those lines were hit in a crowded elevator, which was funny. So it was like some woman like spit her coffee out when he said, we're going to go kill people. And he's like, not you. And now we cut to a very bored congregation at church, which I think, again, speaks very well to. I think it captures it well. This one guy's got headphones on. And then our main character, who we'll see in a moment, Bethany, is just doing her balancing her checkbook. You know, it's like everyone's just kind of checked out. Kids are fighting. And it reminds me as a kid going to church, like, you know, my sister and I would just dick around, you know, like in the pew. Like, it's just impossible to follow and monotonous.
As a parent, you know, my son had hands in his pants. And I could care less about the dirty look. You know what? I would give him my phone with headphones on. That keeps him quiet and doesn't detract from the people that are there to pray and hear stuff, you know?
Right. And well, that's part of the reason why I've stopped going is because my son is a maniac. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't, even with distraction at this point, like he's still kind of only distracted for so long. So it's been kind of tough because we did put my daughter CCD year one. She would make her communion next year if she stays with it. So we've had to kind of rotate and just not, you know, gone as consistently as you probably should. But again, that all speaks to it. Like anything that puts this onus on you to feel like you have to be there a certain amount of time. And, you know, Jeff and I talk about this when we talk about the funeral stuff, right? Like when you can get communion, when you can't, like all these rules put in place, I feel like, and restrictions that, I don't know, like when it comes down to it, just be a good person. You know, like again, that's one of my issues with this whole thing is the barriers put into place and the guilt laid upon you, I think eventually just beat you down and tune you out, right?
Yeah, so we have Bethany here and her, I forgot what Janine Garofalo character name, and I will get that in a second. Liz, they both work at an abortion clinic and they've been protested out front.
Right. So the joke is that, you know, again, I think kind of what I was just trying to explain, like, you know, she's a churchgoer out of habit, right? So, but here she is working at Planned Parenthood, pretty much that, again, would be very, you know, what the church is very anti, which, again, you know, brings me to another issue with them is just how tied into politics it's all become. Like, I go to mass and like at the church we were going to before we moved, it was like the whole thing would just be ranting politically about abortion and this and that. And it's like, I'm not here to be lectured about politics. And once church and Catholicism became was so tied in with like you have to be completely right-wing politically to like actually be considered a good Catholic, like that was when it was all lost. You know what I mean? Like to me, that's when things fell apart completely. And I'm not even saying where I'm aligned politically, right, left, whatever, but I'm just saying when it became so ingrained in that is when a lot of these issues came up. Here's Jason Lee, who is another very big VOSQ universe character.
He had very little acting experience when he got cast in Mallrats. I believe he was a skateboarder or a skater.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's very, very good, you know, with all the dialogue. And here's the demonic hockey guys again, killing this poor housewife.
Only because she had central air.
Yeah.
She should have lied and said she didn't have it.
And as Azrael is revealed as his name with some horns there.
Right. And of course, they're looking for AC because they need it nice and cool out of hell. He's escaped from hell, basically.
Yes. And central air.
And central air was pretty new. Did your family ever have it? Or did you? I guess you would have been.
I had it for 14 years. And then for the last five, I haven't. So
I don't know how you live.
Like a barbarian, I tell you. No, it was great. I mean, when my parents have like a big house where they are, and they, it was like, I asked my dad, I'm like, why did you want to have central air? He goes, I had a choice when we moved. Central air, central vacuuming. And I'm like, you chose fucking central vacuuming? Well, it makes it easier. I said, I don't know anybody else that has central vacuuming.
Right. Yeah, also that, but central air, I could not live without. We got it in, I want to say like, I feel like I was in college, so maybe 99 or so. And my parents have had it since then. And I lived a couple of years in my house when I moved back to Rhode Island without it. And then we got it put in. And now this house that I'm in has it. And I don't think I could live without it, honestly. Like, we have it pretty much, you know, like 68 year round, and that's it. Sorry, I got distracted by the giant ball of fire that opened up.
We're here in Bethany's bedroom, and there's a giant ball of fire, and hearing like a voice. The Metatron, herald of the Almighty, voice of the one true. She gets the smoke fire extinguisher.
So it'll be interesting. We'll see why. You know, why is this happening to her, right? That kind of plays out throughout the...
It's so funny, too, is I didn't recognize Alan Rickman at first when I first saw this. I know him as Hans Gruber.
Yeah. And eventually, in Harry Potter? He's Snape, right?
Yep, he's Snape.
Now he's dead, correct? Didn't he die a couple years ago?
He did pass away, unfortunately, yes. Great, great actor, though. Now you should just sit down on the bed and shut up. You know, very distinctive voice. He's pissed off that his suit's all... And he's kind of dressed the same way as Affleck and Damon. Angels are ill-equipped. The opens up shows that they are like a Ken doll.
Yep, pretty much. Just a hard shell over where his junk would be.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find the info on Mr. Rickman. Yeah, I think I don't remember if he did what's that stupid Christmas movie that everybody loves that I don't understand.
Or Christmases or whatever the fuck?
Love Actually.
Oh, okay.
Four Christmases. I've seen it. I think it's funny.
He's really talking down for now, by the way. He's like, you know, you're so fucking arrogant, basically, thinking everyone wants to rape you and have sex with you. Like, and he shows he's showing his wing.
Yeah. He died in January of 2016. So he was only barely just shy of 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, so he was only, what, 40 here?
Yeah.
Looks older than that. Like, think of that. Like, I'm going to be 40 in 2 years. I think I look better than Alan Rickman does here.
Yeah, he was, let's see, in 99, he was 53.
So he could be 60.
He was almost, almost 70. He was 60.
Oh, I was going to say, God, he was only 40. All right, I'll let it slide. 53. Looks good for 53. Good for you, Alan.
Good for you, Alan.
Yeah, so now she's also showing that she's, okay, you're Catholic, but he's going to explain to her all the... basically levels of angels and everything else. So he's basically the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he, when someone feels like God's spoken to you, they're speaking to him, blah, blah, blah. Do you ever feel like you've gotten any kind of call like that, like from God talking to you or anything?
No, not really. I can't say that I have. I mean, I talk to God. Yeah. He's never talked back, or she, or it, or whatever you want to say.
I always find it interesting, like how that works. Like in preset, they get the call or whatever. Like, is it something you feel like you want? You know, like, I don't know. That part, there's a lot of mystery around this stuff, and a lot of it does intrigue me more around the theology at this point than like the actual, you know, like it's funny because you talked a lot about on your Talk and Pop episode, which I'm not fully completed through yet, but I've listened to like half, and you talked about your time, like, you know, working at History Channel and development of all that. And obviously when I was working at that company, I didn't know you were there, I started with A&E and History Channel and other shows. And like that part of it, like the historical part is always what's intrigued me the most. Like how much of this is based in provable reality? Like to me, like those shows have always interested me when they do the Bible and
Mysteries, you know, Jesus. The Bible, was that Jesus' life?
That show was my favorite at that time on History Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just had something called Jesus' Life, which was, it was 8 parts and was told from the perspective of people who knew Jesus. So one was about John the Baptist, another one was Judas, another one was Mary Magdalene. So, you know, it's interesting. Nobody's asking you to build an ark. You just have to go to New Jersey.
Visit a small church on an important day. So they're basically calling her to be the next in line of all the kind of saviors, right, in the line of Catholics. She's trying to figure out why, but obviously something very bad is about to happen and they need someone on the ground that can help.
Wait, so why? So you can stop a couple of angels from passing through and negating all existence. I hear what people need to spell out for them.
And his whole thing is he can't imbibe alcohol as an angel, so he just drinks it and spits it out. You think Tim Cable does that?
I think he ingests it all. Yeah.
Especially if you heard him sing Red Light Special on the Christmas show last year.
At least he was awake for it.
So Loki, I know, you know, in the world of Greek mythology, Loki's a character. I also know in the world of Thor, obviously tied into Greek mythology, and in the comics, Loki. So I don't remember Loki too much Catholic-wise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's same name, different. Like, he's the god of mischief.
Supposed to be the kind of idea.
Right? Yeah, Loki is the... you know, he was the angel of death. And then in Norse mythology, he's the god of mischief. So
I just don't know if that was actual Catholic mythology or not.
I'm guessing it could be.
It's got to be tied in somewhere.
I mean, Bartleby definitely, I think.
God of Norse mythology, yeah. I know, that was a huge... Oh, that's someone read this and explain it to me.
Yeah.
Like when Costanza had his secretary read up about risk management.
Yes.
Risk management. All right.
So Loki got very drunk and told God he quits. Those on his sword, which is why angels can't get drunk anymore.
So he screwed it up for all of them.
Hence all the spitting.
Would you have liked to see, like... if they ever did like something around this movie, like, I don't know if it would have had time to put it, because this movie, as long as it is, like, I feel like they don't actually show us that world, but they describe it real well, right? Yeah. They talk about a lot about what it's like up there and what happened and all this stuff, but it would have been kind of cool too to see some of it. You know what I mean? Like if they had played it out, even if it was like in callbacks or something, but
if it looked like the end of, This Is the End, that Seth Rogen movie.
That I have not seen actually.
Oh. It's,
as you get closer to modern day 2019, the movie has seen a lesson quite a bit.
I think it's got some good parts to it. And basically, you see a lot of douchey celebrities getting killed, playing themselves. So it's kind of fun, but it's kind of like this though, where it's kind of like some religious overtones to it.
The end of the world stuff has always interested me too. I took a class in college. It was the Book of John and Revelation. Mm-hmm. So it was all about studying the Book of Revelations, basically, which it talked all about the end of the world and the rapture. We actually watched a stupid Kirk Cameron movie, which, yes. You know, he's all into that. You know, that stuff's always interested me. Right down to Blondie's rapture.
Yeah.
She fell for in the 80s tournament.
Actually, I think it might have gotten knocked
out. Did they lose?
I think it's out. Call Me was up today in the second round up against Humpty Dance. And Call Me was winning by a bit.
Yeah.
But
I do like Humpty Dance a lot, but I do think there's better 80s rap. Mm-hmm. I think I voted for Blondie.
Yeah. So he's basically saying you can't go in there. They can't prove God is infallible, which is what really why it's going to negate all of existence.
Right. So by forgiving all your sins, it's proving that God was wrong, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pissed. So basically she works at this abortion clinic and all this because she can't have a baby. And because of that, her husband left her. So like this is why she's kind of become lapsed. Right. And I think this is what a lot of people battle with, too. And, you know, again, this is some of the stuff I went to. I saw my father-in-law suffer quite a bit and, you know, die young and all this stuff. And like it led to a lot of questioning of the shit. You know what I mean? Like, what is this stuff all real and doesn't matter, and why do I have to go to church every weekend? You know, like, why does this stuff matter? I think that's what's being portrayed here, and I think they're illustrating through her a lot of the internal battle that Catholics have, right? Yeah. So if there is a God, why, you know, and I want to be a mom and I can't, why? Like, why, you know?
Yeah, why should I do this if he hasn't done anything for me, kind of thing? Like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And now he tells her she's going to have help, prophets, in matter of speaking. Two of them. I love how
I'm glad they picked like a Brit for this role. You know what I mean? Like, was he British or is he Irish?
Yeah, he's British. Oh yeah, whatever he is. Yeah.
But it's, you know, like I feel like the accents are like more regalish, yeah. And like, yeah, he's English. You know, more just strong. You know what I mean? Like they sound more official.
And you know, exactly who he's describing. He's like one is going to talk on and refer to himself as a prophet. The other one, he's really kind of the quiet type.
Right. So basically,
Jay and Silent Bob.
Right.
He's like, what's God like? He's funny. Oh, he's especially like the face you make in coitus.
Yeah, he's really good in this role because of his dry delivery and everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're getting picked to be the save the world, you know, would you like somebody that's like just dry and straight to the point kind of thing?
Right, exactly. I think you almost got to talk like that if you're going to believe it.
Yeah, you don't want somebody coming out Lassard. I explain it to you.
Mahoney! Yeah, no, she thinks, so she wakes up and thinks it's a dream, but then she finds the maracas that Alan Rickman had shaken, Metatron, trying not to call Megatron, had shaken to end the visit, basically, so. And here we get the tease as well with the hockey guys now. They know that she's the one because they're already targeting her.
Yeah.
Get the bees buzzing and all that.
And she's trying to get in her car at night, alone. And these hockey hooligans are coming by. This is back when roller hockey was popular. Then they actually used to have it on ESPN and stuff. They had two or whatever. I used to play it with my friends.
Oh yeah, it was huge, and it was also tied into like hooliganism as well, very much like, you know, the skater punks. Yeah. It was the skater punks, like rollerblading punks were kind of tied in with the skater punks. And she's in trouble here, so one of them just body checked her to the car, and now they're about to take her out.
Yeah, they're kicking her keys away.
This guy is creepy looking. I like to think in like this universe where he was one of the Mighty Ducks gone bad.
Yeah, could be. I mean, the one kid looks like the one that's from Texas in the second movie.
Yeah, and the other one looks like a skinny Goldberg.
Yeah. And you got Averman if he grew his hair, I guess.
Averman. I like to think Averman is still, like, playing rec league hockey and living on to the dream of being a Mighty Duck. So, yeah, she's about to bite it here. She's trying to get her keys.
You got Snooch to the motherfucking Nooches.
It's funny seeing Jay and Silent Bob meant to be like badasses, you know what I mean? You know, they think of them as like beating the shit out of guys.
Yeah. You know, they're running away using like, you know, a batarang to get away from the security guard in the last movie.
Right. Yeah, I guess they are portrayed kind of superhero-ish. I don't really think of that, but.
And there, lights a cig.
And off they go.
Yeah, Mighty Duck fucks.
I think that was kind of an ill-advised attack by them because she was basically laying under the car.
Yeah.
That's right. They did call them the Mighty Ducks, all right? There you go.
Snoogans.
Yeah, she was laying under the car and they were charging at her on the rollerblades. Like, what were they going to do? Just, like, kick her legs? It was an odd torso attack. I like Jason Mewes too. Like, I actually liked him in Zack and Miri, like seeing him play something other than just Jay. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of still Jay-ish, but he's not. Like, he's a completely different character. I know he's had his issues, but.
Yeah. Jay, my hetero life mate, Silent Bob.
God, how many friends called each other the hetero life mate in the 90s? That was like the main, you know, that was the go-to.
No, man, me and Silent Bob are pro-choice.
Which do you prefer, Jay or Silent Bob?
I don't know. I mean, they both have their attributes.
Right.
I mean, you know, Jay is funny and he's kind of a dick, but he's, you know, he's just somebody you like to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And Silent Bob is just cool. I mean, you know, and then when he does speak, you know, it matters.
Right. And his face, I mean, he's like Kane level with the facials, you know what I mean? Like where he can get over so much in the mask. I always liked, I mean, Jay, I think Jay's great. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he's introspective as well as just being an asshole. I always portray him as like, you know, street smart and, you know, like, he's just a typical good guys, right? I mean, that just hung out outside. You think they're like idiots and stoners or whatever, but they're actually really smart. They're just slackers, you know, like that's kind of the, it was such a big.
90s, late 90s thing. True.
That was such a.
And he says, oh, never going to make a profit. And she's like, are you kidding me? These are my profits. And there's Jeff Anderson, another, he is Randall from the Clerks movies.
Yeah. It's funny to see some of these guys get small parts because I feel like in some of the other ones, like those early ones, they're bigger, you know what I mean? And here he's literally just playing like a gun salesman that I don't think we're going to see again.
Yeah. And you see them going over the guns. Even if you say you get off lighting a razor, rising.
I guess there's supposed to be some tie into him still being a clerk here, right? It's a different job. Still working a counter. But yeah, they're here basically buying guns.
I rained down sulfur, man. This is still a difference. These guys like listening to this conversation.
Well, this must have been kind of a dream job for them in a way because like this is such a goofy role and they just get to be. I'm sure they get to ad lib a bunch, you know. Mm-hmm. So it, like two best friends literally just get to go be in this movie and just fuck around as like violent angels and just bullshit all the time. Is that English muffin toasted?
She crunches it, I believe.
Okay. So it must be toast. Doesn't look it. Are you an English muffin guy?
Yeah, I'm an English muffin guy. Had a great debate. I haven't posted on the Facebook page in a while because something else has been taking up my time. but
you're going to delegate.
Yes, I know. It was on the last episode. It was like, what do you prefer, the top or the bottom of the English muffin?
I'm more of a bottom guy. So they're bagging on John Hughes.
Yeah. Sherman, Illinois. He's like, there's got to be like all these high schools. Got a lot of kids that sell dope too.
The stupid kids actually show up for detention. Again, it's almost like a Seinfeld tinge to this too, right? It's like kind of commenting on just like nothing, right? All right. Just these conversations you have that shouldn't really be a movie or a show, but they are. It's just what two guys were ranting and raving about. It's kind of become a cottage industry now, right? That's like everyone. That's the game, and we're doing it, right? We're we're riffing on pop culture or whatever. But.
So, yeah, he just went through like the whole John Hughes filmography.
Right, shitting on all the movies for not showing Bush.
Except for Judd Nelson. He was fucking harsh. There was no one dealing, so we came here, man. We could live like fat rats.
So that's why they're in Illinois. They were told basically somehow to go here.
We found out there is no Sherman, Illinois. Movies are bullshit.
So you knew with the buses here that he had to pay for, but in Jay and Silent Bob's right back, they think the bus is free.
Yeah.
Continuity error. This is also kind of tie into Zach and Mary as well, where he's asking her basically if girls fart when you do anal. And of course, he has a very unfavorable encounter with anal sex and Zach and Mary.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of gross.
I don't know, what offends you more, that or the Dutch rudder at the end that he explains how to do?
Oh, I think the scene that Katie Morgan just, or whatever it was, that was gross because it was like literally,
It's funny, like right after that.
Right on Jeff Anderson's face.
Right around the time that came out. When was Zach and Mary?
Oh, yeah. She got me. That's
probably. Oh, 08?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It was literally like, right when that came out when she was in that. I went to a bachelor party and she was dancing at the club.
Really?
I was like a special celebrity that night or whatever. So it's kind of funny. Like I just seen her in Zach and Mary and obviously other films. But Yeah, there she was. At my bachelor party, Nikki Benz was the entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting.
Zach and Mary, 2008.
That was like always one of my go-to, like, late night, we went to the bar, go home at 1 in the morning, and it would be on kind of deals. Like, it'd be on HBO or whatever, or I had it on DVR. So that was that, Beer Fest. You know, I had a few like that. But Zach and Mary is definitely one of them, just throw on late night. So they're trying to get laid still by poor Bethany, and Jesus.
Yeah, and she's like, you need to take me there. She's like, okay, it's like Star Wars. I'm Han, you're Chewie, we're in that fucked up bar.
This is great, though, because of the payoff later. He's basically like, what if there's a scenario where we have 5 minutes to live, we're all going to die? You know, will you bang me then? She's like, yes. You know, if that unlikely scenario occurs, basically, yes.
So he's driving her car, and you see the typical Jay and Silent Bob doing the head wave, and they're doing about, you know, 90. He's like, what gear are you? And he's like, gear? Car is fucked. What the shit did I know?
Right. It's probably basically doesn't know how to fucking drive, right?
Yeah, I had a fraternity brother of mine who was really into Kevin Smith stuff. So, and he was working at Suncoast at the time. So we always talked to like Kevin Smith, quote Kevin Smith movies.
Right. Constantly. God, Suncoast, huh?
Hell yeah. That was the movie only Sam Goody. Yeah.
We had strawberries here.
Yeah, we had those here and there.
Yeah. And then FYE.
And then coconuts, I think, was around for a while. I mean, I grew up. I mean, I'm older than you, so I remember like Sam Goody.
I don't remember really Sam Goody much yet. Like, I feel like strawberries and the Newberry Comics came, and then FYE. But I don't remember what FYE was before. Is FYE?
Oh, I remember going to I remember going to Tower Records.
Yeah, we didn't have that here either.
So now they're on the now we just see a bus go by, and there's Loki and Bartleby on that. They're heading to New Jersey, so the race is on.
Race to Jersey. It's the first time ever people are racing to Jersey. Unless you're trying to save the town of Asbury.
Asbury Park. That's where the boss is from, I believe.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a place that he actually goes to called Jersey Freeze. It's a soft serve ice cream place in Freeland I've been to. Not bad, though. Like, one of those places before, this was before they had soft serve everywhere. They had, like, all these different flavors. Like, which you didn't find.
This is such a great, like, debate right here, too. Like, trying to figure out if they're cheating or whatever. That was, like, such a great line. No married man kisses his wife like that.
Yeah. Why? just curious.
Who's this guy, too? He looks familiar.
Oh, he's been in a bunch of movies. It's Derek Melissa Valle. Okay. So he was in... Yeah, I guess he works on The Crew. Yeah, I guess he's done some stuff with... he was probably one of... Yeah, Kevin Smith. Just say, I'll put you in a bit part in...
Right.
You're just going to make out with this chick, basically.
Who kind of looks like Liv Tyler.
And, oh, there we go.
Loki shoots him in the head. Because as the... Basically still considers himself... The angel of death and the judge and the jury and whatever. But what's Bartleby supposed to be? Is he supposed to be like the voice of, is he like the judge kind of?
Yeah, that's kind of
right. He gives the okay, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of his role. We should also clarify Bethany's Linda Fiorentino, which we haven't really mentioned yet.
Which I didn't know her from much before this. I know she was in some other movies. I noticed it was.
She was in a lot of stuff before that, yeah. But nothing that we probably would have, I mean, for me, definitely nothing. But she was in Men in Black right before this.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I would say probably one of her biggest things before that. And she hasn't done terribly much since either. Was she in, yeah, she kind of faded, huh?
Yeah, her last acting credit on IMDb is 2009.
But even then, she only did like a handful of things between here and 09.
Yeah, she did, she was like one of those action movie chicks.
Right.
I guess.
She's also not happy. See, yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Does she do anything other than act? Like, it just kind of, her wiki is very thin. Like, it just kind of says, basically. As of 2019, Fiorentino has made a single screen appearance since 2009. She's supposed to be developing documentaries. Yeah, no, she's kind of faded. She's pretty good in this.
Whoa. And then all of a sudden, a guy falls from the sky.
Naked guy.
Naked Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, another... well, is he a Kevin Smith guy? Is he in anything else with him?
Yeah, he's the director in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
That's right, yeah.
Somebody's going to sue George Lucas' ass.
Would you say this is Chris Rock's peak?
Yeah, this is he was on the way up, actually.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he had peaked yet.
Okay.
But, you know, this is when he started growing the beard and stopped looking like he was 12.
Right.
You know, like when he was Pookie in New Jack City.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Like, he doesn't have too many huge movies after that. Like, he's in a ton of movies, obviously, but when does Everyone Hates Chris or whatever start?
Oh, God. That was like...
05 to 09.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's probably his peak, I would say, then.
Mm-hmm. Then we started doing Nat X on Saturday Night Live, and when he, you know, now he's in the whole Adam Sandler crew, like, you know, Grown Ups movies.
He's also extremely skinny.
Yes. He's like, hey.
I was definitely into Chris Rock for a hot minute, like his stand-up and stuff. I thought he was definitely, you know, he had the no sex in the champagne room and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the movie with him, too, where he becomes a president wasn't bad, where he dies.
Head of state, yeah.
That wasn't bad. That was another interesting one, like kind of what if, where he, you know, like kind of what happens when you die. And they took mm-hmm. him to, what, like a minute too soon, like he didn't actually get hit by the car or whatever. So they owed him, basically.
So basically, he was one of the apostles that you didn't hear about.
Because he's black. That's the joke, right?
Yeah, I think that's the joke. Yeah, I knew Christ. No, he owes me $12. So, yeah, and he's also a lot of exposition.
Oh, yeah, tons. And he's basically explaining. He's been dead for nearly 2,000 years.
No wonder he saw Jesus. He's rocking a ganj. Not a joint. It's an Aramaic. Rufus, see in 2 years. Jesus. Freaked me out because he basically told me, well, my number was up. Let's get a two-piece and a biscuit. Back off, Cato. Cato Kaelin joke right there.
Very 90s reference.
Yeah.
So now we get this posse, which is a good one. We got more coming, but this is so far the stable is building well with Bethany, Jane, Silent Bob, and Rufus.
Looks like the we're looking at a Dangerous Alliance, or we're looking at the oddities.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Hey, man, we used to walk everywhere.
He's barefoot as well, walking down the street.
You hear of a fat apostle? God, Kevin Smith is
what the hell's an apostle? Great line.
Kevin Smith's even probably smaller than Jay nowadays after he had his heart attack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's not super fat here, though. Not like you would get when he had to buy the two plane seats.
Yeah.
How do they not see these guys standing there?
Yeah, the demon boys, and they just, like, rip a hole. And they jump through. Lurking in the background.
A fourth wall.
Yeah. So then they update, you know, Azrael.
Right. Right. He kind of knows all the steps, right, that she's going to go through to...
Well, he's kind of like, you know...
Is he supposed to be the devil, basically?
Yeah, you know, he's the evil Vince, kind of pulling the puppet strings. It's me! It's me!
He does play a good demon.
Yeah.
Much better than when he's Dave Seville.
I'm a fucking demon. That's what he said. Now here they are at movies.
Yes, yeah, so movies is like their... I guess, I don't know, the McDonald's, I guess, is what it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. It's where all of Clerks 2 takes place, is in the movies.
I guess this McDonald's almost crossed, like, the Walmart, right? In a way, like, not that it's a store, but, like, with the over-the-top, like, branding and dominating, like, everything. Just was, like, this massive conglomerate corporation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so Rufus's whole point is... He thinks the Bible whitewashed him and other stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
but he was the 13th apostle. Sounds like Eddie Murphy when he said he was the fifth Beatle.
I think Rufus is supposed to almost be like the, I want to say in a way, like the voice of there is this stuff. Like, you don't have to hold yourself just the Bible, right? And that's kind of his message throughout this whole thing. Like, think outside the box. Think outside of the Bible, right? Your faith should be based on other stuff and not just. And it also popularizes the very, you know, I think well-known trope now that, I shouldn't say trope, probably truth, that Jesus was not a white man, given that he grew up in the Middle East, you know, lived in the Middle East, theoretically. So, but yeah, no, I think he's an interesting part of this, the way he talks and portrays, basically look beyond that kind of his message at the end, too, right? Look beyond, look beyond the text.
It's kind of like, I was there. Right. Kind of thing.
But even beyond that, like, think, you know, you don't have to hold yourself to every word in this book, right? Think of yourself in a greater light, which I think is my belief in all this shit, right? Yeah. It's like, I kind of voice this on that Jeff Learns Wrestling. It's like, you know, okay, yes, I got communion without going to church for a month and a half or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, am I going to go to hell? Or, you know, if I don't kill someone, but I do that, I'm going to hell. You know, like stuff like that, right? If I do everything else right, but I don't go to mass every Sunday, that means I'm not going to heaven. It's like, you know, shit like that to me is like where the level of belief needs to be updated and brought into realization. And I think even stuff, you know, it kind of came into play right for us WrestleMania weekend, right? We went out to eat on that Friday and it was a Friday during Lent and you got your tuna and Scott got his tuna and I got my steak. You know, does that mean, you know, does that mean I'm not going to heaven? So it's all about what you believe and what level. But I do think stuff like that needs to be modernized and rationalized. And I think it goes, like I said, I joked about it being like baseball, but even so like the Constitution and various amendments, you know, that were written, stuff that was written hundreds, you know, or thousands be it years ago. Why are we still governing by today? Like, we don't go by medicine from hundreds of thousands of years ago. We don't go by technology from hundreds of thousands of years ago. So why is a doctrine wrote in a time where stuff that could never even be imagined that was to come still be governing us in today's times, right?
Yeah. Now he's proven that he knows because he told her something that nobody else knew. A kid that peed in her hand when he was 5, and then he died of leukemia 2 years later. So that kind of, she kind of like, you know, wakes up a little bit to him. And Jan Sontbauer's still sitting there with, you know.
Right, they have like no clue what's going on.
Sontbauer's face is just so funny.
We're still in the era of gay jokes being okay here in the 90s. It's, basically says, you know, he says, like, tell me something you know about me. You masturbate all the time. Yeah, I know. You think about guys. And Silent Bob looks at him like he's, like, you know, saw the devil himself right there. So this is a good – I like this scene a lot, actually. So they're just sitting on the playground. She's, like, trying to come to grips with all this. And he's talking about what God thinks and all this stuff and – how you should look at all this stuff. And again, he's doing it. He's kind of being like the realist, right? And how you should practically apply this stuff to your everyday life.
And here's Salma Hayek and Candy Girl.
Yes.
I always think of this scene now, Candy Girl.
Or Mabel. You don't think of King Mabel?
No. I'd rather think of Salma Hayek stripping with schoolgirl, you know, have a schoolgirl outfit on there.
See, I'm going to call bullshit on this. A Jersey strip club.
They're not in Jersey yet.
Oh, that's right. Where are we? Do we know yet?
I don't know. Somewhere Illinois or Ohio or something. I don't know.
All right. So I'll let the top stand. Yeah. I don't know why you'd even go to a strip club, though. Well, I guess you're supposed to topless, right?
Well, it's next to movies, yeah.
I mean, not all are bottomless. I know that. There's a lot that require bikini bottoms, but.
Yeah. And then I like the whole battle of dollar bills. You know, ding, ding.
Apparently Silent Bob is loaded, even though I feel like they never have any money.
Yeah. You know, and you got crime time over there. Yo.
Selma Hayek as a stripper named Serendipity is like a perfect name, both within the story of the movie, because Serendipity obviously plays into this, but also just it's a great stripper name. God, she hasn't done much TV lately. I feel like she was in something more recently. I guess not since 30 Rock.
Yeah, I've never seen her. Well, she's going to be in The Eternals. I know that, in the Marvel movies.
She still does a lot of movie stuff, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she played Adam Sandler's wife in the Grown-Ups movies. Because that's believable.
All right, here we go. This is another pretty intense scene as Loki and Bartleby descend upon the movies. Oh, who's this guy too? He's another classic like movie bad guy.
Yeah.
So we're basically in this, you know, board meeting, talking about movies taking over the world. We got a movie cartoon. And there's like typical rich assholes, right?
Yeah.
This is a great
look. They're all the board members, and he's sitting there carving an onion.
In the shape of a cross. Loki is. So, oh no, it's not a cross. It's like a voodoo doll, right? This is just, I really enjoy this scene. I think it might be the best scene in the movie. Where he basically just preaches, goes on this rant, and then pinpoints everything all these people have done wrong. Talk about how they basically created a golden calf, a golden, fake god or whatever that they all live by. And even like right down to it, they have the gold idol sitting on the board table, right? The golden movie. Mm-hmm. Who is this guy? Have you looked him up yet?
Give me 1 second. I was just grabbing a beverage. let's see. Jeez, there's a big, did he ever say the character's name?
No, he's just like board member.
Forgotten movie magazine.
movie.
Movie all the time.
Right, so he's just called Adulterers, right? I think not Adulterers. Adulterers.
I found him. Mark Joy.
Seen anything else? He looks really familiar.
Border Town, Pecker, Hero. Yeah.
He's on The Wire. Big Mama's House 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess he just looks like a guy that is in this. He's in Muppets from Space, maybe. Law and Order. I mean, he's just a guy. Like, you see this guy and you know he's just like the bad guy. And all. He's in Matlock. I mean, he's probably been the bad guy in all this stuff forever. So.
Matlock!
So this is good, too. So Matt Damon's just explaining, or Loki, I should say, has carved a onion. An onion.
Into a movie.
Voodoo doll, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's explaining the concept behind voodoo dolls and all that. And then just hucked a knife through the conference call. It's actually a pretty modern conference call phone right there. I feel like we have those stuff that looked like that as recently as like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think we still do. So basically, this was like a take on the McDonald's gang, I think. Now they had like, you know, Grimace and the Hamburglar and Birdie and the other guys. This guy, Mr. Burton. Now, he was in a sitcom for a little while.
He looks like Buxton from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, let me see if I can find this guy. Yeah, I remember seeing him. I'm like, I know that guy from something.
And this is great. He just goes through each and every one of them and exposes all their, like, brutal secrets. You got your girlfriend drunk at last year's Christmas party and then paid a kid from the mailroom to have sex with her while she was passed out.
Now, they're basically all horrible people.
Yeah, so he could break up with her. And then she killed herself. I don't know why you kill yourself over this guy, but whatever. This guy disowned his gay son. He looks like he's the type that would do that. Mother in a third-rate nursing home used the profits of the sale of her home to buy
an oriental rug.
His delivery is so good in this. Just ripping the shit out of him. This guy flew to Thailand on the company account to have sex with an 11-year-old boy.
Jeez. No, Barbie's like the all-knowing.
Oh, it's so good.
And you, on the other hand, you're an innocent. So a thumbs up for you. But you, Mr.
Must Whitland. Feel good, right? It's like getting the A in class right there. Oh, Whitland's going to take a beating. This is just like straight up. You're his father. You say fuck. This just straight up like portrays like the evil corporate greed, right? I mean, right down to these guys are all sick fucks on this board, this big conglomerate.
Basically, yeah.
Bartleby's leaving. Loki alone with. Oh no! I guess he's pretending to leave too.
Yeah, he's the only one who's decent.
Right, so you're basically saying fear makes you decent, and they got nothing to fear, so that's why they're such pieces of shit. I mean, this is like So this is like speaking straight out of. So these guys are basically taking the word of the Bible to light to for, you know, to the word, right? Basically, if you sin, eye for an eye, kind of stuff. You got to pay for your sins. That's like what their whole. You really did a nice job carving that onion into a voodoo.
The voodoo doll, yeah, pretty good.
Do you believe in voodoo dolls? Do you think that works?
No, not really.
No?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean,
so you talk to God, but you don't believe in voodoo?
Well, it depends.
I don't know. I could see it. I don't believe in voodoo.
Voodoo. Huh. Like, what the hell was that?
This fucking guy who just owned his kid and just looks like such an old grump.
Well, I believe in this. He's like, don't run, don't run. He just takes them all out.
Yep, shoots up the whole room.
Blood sparing.
Pre-9/11, so not much security here in this building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just see blood everywhere.
Spurting all over the golden cap. And he spares the one innocent woman.
He gives her some gum. You're a pure soul. You're good.
But I didn't. Well, way to scar her for life, though. Thanks. Oh, that's such a great tease. You didn't say God bless you when I sneezed. That's a good thing too. Like that you catch when you go back and watch it when he sneezes and looks around and sees that no one says God bless you. That was earlier in the scene. Mm-hmm. You don't catch it when you're first watching it until he says it here. It's a good call. Because he makes like such a face too when he does it. Wait, so who knows her then? Rufus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Now she explains she's not a woman, really. She's a...
Muse, right?
Yeah, she's a muse. And she lacks definition like everybody else.
Another angel like Metatron.
All right, buddy. I don't know why my dog.
Dog's still warm. Why don't you get some fucking air conditioning? No. Maybe we'll be sweating.
Well, we can't hear. No, he's actually scratching himself. I don't know. I think he scratched himself too much.
Okay. Well, he did see Salma Hayek on the screen.
Yeah, I know. At least it's not my cat making an appearance in Criscola complaining. Is that your cat?
Do you think you could, like, what would your thought, if you're Bethany in this, like, at what point would you have bought into any of this? Like, here? Are you still out here? Or are you in by this point?
I'm in by this point. You know, because once, you know, once everything is falling into falling into place between the prophets and Rufus knowing stuff, and here, you know, Serendipity says that she's responsible for 19 of the top 20 grossing movies all the time. The one she's not responsible for is Home Alone. here comes the shit monster.
Oh, God, I feel like the shit monster.
Yeah, and it's actually, I think it's voiced by Ethan Suple, who's another, that's Willem in Mallrats.
All right.
Yeah, I know what you see. You see a sailboat.
Wasn't he also, was he the...
He was the brother in Earl.
That's right. But he wasn't the guy from Boy Meets World, was he? Vader's son? Isn't that him, too?
No. Maybe. Oh, yeah. Boy Meets World. Yeah, it might have been him.
I think it was Vader's son, yeah.
Yeah, he also was in Remember the Titans. And he was Tuna in Blow.
He had to give Vader the tips because the world champion wrestler couldn't beat fucking, who was it, Jake Roberts, I think, or whoever was in that match. My son's going to give me these tips.
You ever see the other show with Lala Zedo wearing the ropes?
Yeah. I saw the pilot like at one point.
Yeah, I wonder if that ever makes it on the network. That was during those. I think that might have been around or pre-Saved by the Bell.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think so.
That was like when Rock and Roller Games and stuff was on, I think, too.
Yep. So this is really throwing a lot of smoke about God, right? So Chris Rock is saying God is black. She's saying God's a woman.
and how the women are the biggest antagonists in the Bible.
Right.
And the shit monster is coming out. Like basically the stall just fills up and he just climbs out.
What's your thoughts about the shit monster? Like, I feel like this movie, like for a movie like based in this absurdity, mm-hmm. like I thought it's been pretty good about even like it's crazy. You're going to kind of believe in the supernatural, but it's working grounded in some sort of realism. If you believe at all in this stuff, I think a monster made of shit coming out of the toilet is like, I don't know. I just feel like they didn't quite need to go that level.
Yeah.
So I feel like even Jane, Silent Bob aren't, I don't know. They're not like super gratuitous in this movie. You know what I mean? Like they would be in other ones, but I felt like one step.
Yeah. Like it wasn't necessary.
Right.
Like they could have sent something else to attack them, but you know, they got to go to the lowest common denominator. Yeah. Jan, Sam, Bob are in the gang. And they could smell it.
Fucking farted.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, we just didn't really need to.
Yeah, this is not necessary. A Golgothon, they call it? A shit demon.
Excremental. Well, I guess Jason Lee, Azrael, did basically say he was going to summon that, right? Didn't he say that in the house?
They say, smoke it.
I got the new gang members to try to take it out.
Yeah.
Get your fucking hand back.
He's like, come on, bring it on. And they get pretty much messed up by it. It's just, you just see their reactions of what he's doing to them. Like, you don't see it. And they're like, what the? Oh. And they're just all dead and covered in crap. It looks like we're in charge of the gang now.
Poor gang members just want to look at some tits and now they're dead in a pile of shit.
He's shooting shit at them now. I forgot about this scene.
Yeah, again, I think it's probably the least favorite of the movie, honestly.
You think?
Yeah, it's... I get it. Like, they're still trying to tie it in to, like... You know, basically, it's like the demons that haunted Golgotha. All these awful people were crucified there and basically... They're trying to explain it, right? Basically, they shit themselves when they die and it have turned itself into this fucking monster, of, you know, full of evil. I guess in a way, if you look at it, like, they're trying to mock a bit of the mythology that people take so seriously. Silent Bob now is going to confront him.
What the hell is he spraying out of? Air freshener or something?
No, it's a Banaka, isn't it?
Oh, but it's a big thing. He knocked him out with it.
Banaka? Do you even make Banaka anymore? I feel like that was huge in the 90s.
Yeah, it was actually the 80s. Knock strong odors out. So it's more like air freshener.
Okay, so it wasn't.
Yeah, he had like...
air fresher with them.
Lysol, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it was not Banaka, sadly. Banaka was done by them.
And then Salma Hayek's got to interrogate the
shit monster.
Shit demon.
She calls her the princess, and she knows she's the last scion. So it's like known that basically she's in this lineage of saviors. So trains all sold out. A bus.
Bush bus.
So, yeah, basically saying because you have to keep killing people and fucking up us riding the bus to this place.
He's like, come on, let's use our wings.
Right, yeah, he wants to fly.
And finally, Azrael reveals himself to Bartleby and Loki, like saying how he was behind this all.
See, this stuff, you know, I've talked before, I'm not, like, super into horror or sci-fi, but, like, this kind of stuff I really like. Like, this idea that this weird alternate universe exists, and they're all coming together and showing up here and on this journey, this stuff all pops up, and you get this bizarre journey with these different teams, you know, about to meet up and clash. Like, this kind of stuff speaks to me. And kinda, like also,
yeah, and they actually know each other. He's like, "What are you doing up here?" He's like, "I'm coming up for a possession." Both sides are looking for you. Turn it on site. God's pissed off. Actually, no, Lucifer's pissed because you might make him look bad. And then he just wants to negate everything.
Right, so he's basically trying to, because he wants to end everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's stuck in hell.
Right, he wants to end the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants... So what's his thing? If he goes through, the world ends? If he does, if he passes through?
No, they have to pass through because they...
Oh, that's right.
They get back into heaven after being kicked out by God, and God can't be infallible.
Well, I know that's why they want
to
get through.
Well, he's using them.
Right, but what's his end game? He wants the world to end.
Wants the world to end because he'd rather have the world be end than him being in hell.
And they all know that she's the last scion, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they're on a train.
Yeah. He's basically comparing it to Jesus and saying that. You know, he didn't want this either, and he had to take it on and save the world.
Yeah.
So again, this is earnestness to try and ground all of this stuff, and I think that's part of this that pops the most anyway, is like how they try to, like, that's why I like Chris Rock's character in this, because again, he's trying to really, he brings it to a grounded, rational point of view and talking about just like how Jesus was just a man or woman, whatever, you know, I mean, just a person. Have to take all this on, and the way to look at it beyond the mystical piece.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the movie's pajamas.
Yeah. They, it looks like actually a movie's, somebody who works there, like a worker shirt.
Oh, is that what it is? It looked like like silk pajamas or something for a minute.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point.
Right. Talk about the importance of beliefs and how it's basically led to wars and all this other stuff, and how it could end the world, basically.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, where are the two morons? They're on there, and they're like sitting there, and they made some new friends. Larry.
And it is.
Larry and Barry.
Also known as Loki and Bartleby, of course.
Act like you the bomb in Phantom.
So Jay tells us you're going to sleep with them.
So, did they ever say since angels can't get drunk, can they get stoned?
Oh, we'll find out. Or is he pretending to?
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Yeah, he's pretending to do it.
Yeah,
basically just trying to get the info out of them and all this stuff. And he's so charming, Affleck. It's hard to resist.
Yeah, he could have kept going as Bruce Wayne.
I prefer him in these.
Yeah, he's a good director too.
He'll never. People can't get by Julie. And I was talking to Josh Richard about that, about why I think partially why Jersey Girl isn't looked at as finally, because it was like right around that same time.
Yeah. He was too much of a, you know, there was nothing substantial about him at the time. Like there was like, he was too much in the tabloids, Bennifer and
right.
Gwyneth and that whole thing. So he wasn't being taken seriously because he was like a playboy douche kind of before, like, you know, he started really, you know, honing his craft.
Yeah, and he got cleaned up and everything.
Yeah, he grew up, basically.
So he's basically explaining his whole life and these metaphors and comparisons and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing it to being dumped.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if God will ever call him back. They do very much portray God as like, at least they do, as spiteful and smiting. I mean, basically, the way they explain the steps he's taken to eradicate this stuff and send these guys to hell, and, you know, even Alan Rickman was kind of talking that way, as the voice of God, you know, kind of talking about God's issues and wouldn't let them drink anymore. And
there's Chris Rock or Rufus
sleeping on a pillow, shoe pillow.
Mm-hmm. And Bethany's getting a little drunk on those airplane bottles there.
Yes.
It gives me time to balance my checkbook and season cards.
There you go. Affleck explained it all. You go to church out of habit. You don't feel anything. And I think that gets just more exemplified by some of the stuff I was saying earlier, like around the just the tying into the political nature and all that stuff. It's like, how am I going to go and feel spiritual when they're just like ranting and raving on that stuff? You know what I mean? Or I get money is part of it too. But I can see how people have lost spiritual feeling and the ties they have to go there when it all feels just as mechanical as the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right. And again, she's tying it back to not being able to have a baby.
For me, it was just like, not that we were forced to go, but it was like, you know, we couldn't miss church. It was like, even if we're on vacation, I mean, literally, like, we're in Virginia, we've got to find a church. I'm looking at a college that weekend, got to find a church. We're in Europe, we've got to find a church. It's like, oh my God, can we, like, go a week?
I know. No, yeah, that's a big part of it. It was like, you know, it's like anything. If you're forced to go for so long and it becomes work, you know, it becomes, it's not enjoyable. And I'm with you. I mean, my parents weren't like my mom. My dad never went, but my mom wasn't like super strict. But we did go pretty much most weeks. But having gone to Catholic school from nursery school through college, you know, at least through high school, you know, college, you could kind of at least make your own decisions. I had to take religion classes, but I didn't have to go to mass. In high school, though, we were still forced to go to mass, you know, as part of class and all that stuff. And yeah, eventually you just become burnt out on it. You know, hearing the same stuff over and over. And as you start to become more aware, like I think with so much of it growing up and you're when you're raised that way and you're ingrained as much part of it, you obviously are going to believe. But it's not based on faith, right? It's based on being told this is the truth. This is reality. Like this is how it is. Like as a young child, you know, equate it to Santa Claus or anything else, right? If you're raised to believe it's real, you're going to believe it's real until you're – but it's not. But – for someone like me, and I don't know if you're the same way, like, you know, I grew up in a 100% Italian Roman Catholic family in a Roman Catholic area of a very Catholic state. You know what I mean? Like it's so like that's all I was surrounded by. Like to me, that everyone was Catholic. Everyone believed in God. You know, like so it wasn't until I got to college and beyond where I started to come across beyond that and start to think more logically and rationally and see past all of that part, that's when your faith gets tested and you start to wonder if this stuff is real and, you know, how that comes to be. But I think for folks like us that were really so ingrained in it, it just became so much part of your life that you almost were forced to believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go into like kind of like what I was exposed to after the scene, because now we have a pivotal scene where, you know, she reveals herself,
what she's doing,
accidentally as the last scion, and you know, he's like, "Oh, wow."
So I missed that before. I thought they were trying to get her to explain it. I was thinking that they knew, but that's right, they don't know. They happen to stumble into it.
Yeah, they have an idea, but now she, you know, now that she knows the whole deal, you know, and then Rufus,
right,
making his way, and he's, you know, he recognizes them when he comes in, and that's when shit's about to go down.
Right. He's trying to stay calm, you know what I mean? Like, but he can't kill her, right? I mean, he's not supposed to do that. That's Matt Damon, so he can't do anything. But she's also not doing anything wrong either, so.
Well, she's the one who's going to stop them, so I guess they have to kill her.
Yeah, but can they kill her if she's not done anything wrong? Isn't that against their...
Well...
Rito, right? Doesn't he need the Bartleby to judge yes or no, and then he can kill?
I think that kind of goes out the books towards the end.
They haven't done it yet, though.
Yeah. They haven't killed anybody who didn't deserve it, I guess. I mean, maybe he's just going to knock her out with a bottle. Like, the apostle? Shit.
She's very into power.
Take it easy, Bartleby.
Good timing. Chris Rock having a show up. 5 minutes ago you're raking the top me off. I didn't come in, you Pete, I swear. Again, portraying Jay as secretly homosexual. All right, so they basically don't give a shit. They know it's gonna. They want to go home, and it's gonna wipe out mankind.
Yeah,
so I still haven't pieced together Loki. I feel like they don't have the same thing as Azrael, though.
No. Uh oh, you hit Jay. That pissed off Silent Bob. I guess angels aren't as strong as you'd think they would be.
I guess they just do want to get back to reentry. Right? Azrael really wants things to blow up. Big geek.
Biggie, get the door.
I like who he knows he's talking to him when he says Biggie.
Well, because he calls him Big Papa earlier. There goes Loki off the train.
What an awful effect to him getting thrown off.
Yeah.
Kind of flew.
He's just like, he jumps. Oh. And there goes Bartleby.
That was awful as well. Slow motion throw off the train. It would have been better to show him like pushing him and then vanishing.
And then Silent Bob, lets the sink.
As always, Silent Bob is the heavy, the muscle that saves the day.
Yeah, and then he gives the Indiana Jones line. Because the person's like looking at him like.
The beat of silence is so good.
No ticket.
No ticket. is that his only line in this one? I think it may be. Usually it just has like one, right?
Yeah. So either it's like a little speech or just finally he just like flips out.
Right. So now they're having some. Now it's almost flipped, right? So like it was kind of low-key pushing him before a little bit.
Sorry.
Well, actually, no, I guess it's always been Bartleby, but.
Yeah. But he was like kind of like not. He was a little subtle about it. Now he's like kind of like just pissed and he's like, that's it, I'm done.
Right. Now Loki's got to back it off.
He's like, dude, maybe we should think about this. He's like, is it really that bad?
Yeah. So he's saying basically he had an epiphany about how humans basically ruined everything. So now he's all in on destroying. Like he's buying into Azrael's plan, basically, of just destroying all these people because they fucked everything up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I grew up Roman Catholic, but I guess it was a little different. I'm not Italian. Although I look at, my parents are both from the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
but I had a lot of different religions around me because my grandfather was my grandmother's second husband. Her first husband was Jewish. So my grandmother was Jewish and everybody's like, well, isn't your father Jewish? I'm like, no, I think they let him choose when he was like 7 or 8 or whatever it was. And he chose to be Catholic, chose Philip as his middle name after Philip Rizzuto.
Huh.
And my mother's Catholic, but that side of the family is all Russian Polish. And they actually have relatives that are Russian Orthodox. So I saw it from like many different angles. But yeah,
right.
It's always, my aunt to this day, my aunt's a Eucharistic minister out in New Jersey. So, church is a big part of their lives. I mean, they know that, they don't give me a hard time about it, or my sister to that fact either, because my sister doesn't go either. But,
right.
We try with the kids. My daughter, we had her in CCD when we lived in Norwalk. And because it worked out because it was on Sundays, you go to church for an hour and then, the kids would go right after. But then like when we moved to Trumbull, it was after school.
Right.
And it got a little difficult with my son. He was quite a handful, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I wasn't always home. And then it just got to a point where, we took her out for a year and then we would put her back in. And she hated being there with kids younger. And then so she made her first communion. And that was it. And my son. We couldn't do that because that was his witching hour. We knew there was no way we'd be able to get him to get there or sit through the thing. So we kind of gave up. So hopefully it's something maybe they'll come back to at some point in their life.
Right. Yeah, at some point it becomes their choice too, right? Like, I don't know when that is, you know what I mean? Like, do I want to give my 7-year-old a choice? She doesn't know. You know what I mean? And I guess where I'm at is like, and actually we'll get back to that in 1 second because I want a synopsis of what's going on here. So Bartleby just is completely flipped out and he's basically saying like, God gave them everything they ever wanted and they fucked it up. But what about us? You know, like, what about Raven kind of thing, right? Like, we were there as right-hand men and, you know, he gave them everything. They fucked it up and he took us for granted and he wants to go back. And he's basically saying, now we got to kill Last Scion. And Loki's like, you're fucking nuts. You know what I mean? Like, you're crazy. I'm not having any part of killing the Last Scion. And then he also is, he had a good line where he's like, what about Jay and Silent Bob? Those guys are all right, you know? Like, not
yeah.
But he's basically, now he's comparing Bartleby to Lucifer, like saying, this is, the last time I heard a rant like this was Lucifer. You're nuts. I'm leaving. You're crazy. But Bartleby ain't having none of it, so.
It's like when you see, like, a tag team and one guy is, like, obviously turning heel. And,
right, right.
And then the guy who he thought was, like, going to be the one that keeps him face is the one that flips out and becomes
kind of like when you heard Dean Ambrose was going to be the heel, the shield, and ended up being Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like what's, yeah, for me, you know, what I'm just trying to do is keep it grounded. So like, I want her to come to me with questions and stuff she hears and I'm going to like, I know enough of it, which is why I always feel okay speaking about it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I can speak my mind on this stuff because I lived it and been through so much of it that like, I feel like confident that I can help her navigate some of the questions she's going to have as she learns this stuff and keep her grounded. I don't want her suffering from Catholic guilt. I don't want her fearing, you know, everything she does wrong, that God's judging her or looking down. Like, that is what I don't want from all this, because I lived with that for years.
Yeah.
You know, I think back with regret on stuff, you know what I mean? Because I sat there with this heavy Catholic guilt that just like hangs on you, for so long and so much stuff. And, that part of it is what, you know, bothers me. But so anyway, Chris Rock going on about this conspiracy to cover up the truth about Christ and all this stuff. And, you know, she doesn't buy it, but.
Yeah, she's, you know, how it's all about the family. Why would he leave any of it out? You know.
Right. Everyone else that wasn't Jesus, basically.
Mm-hmm. And he tries, like, he, like, debunks everything.
Right. Right. Basically. So there's, like, the. You really think he'd stay with her all those years? Get laid. Right. So again, he's just trying to add the realism behind it, right? A lot of the stuff in the Bible is not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to be taken figuratively. You know, obviously some of the stuff is realistic, but to believe, they want you to believe the mythology behind it all.
Yeah.
And basically telling her straightforward, she is the great, 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 great grandniece of Jesus Christ.
So that's why she's the last sign.
No, Bethany Part Black.
And she's just like, this becomes, she's like, way too heavy.
She's Seinfeld gift out of here. She's like, I'm out.
I'm out. She's like, you know, why is the whole thing on me?
And she's like, just flip it out on God, right?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Give her time, big man.
That so my MVP, I mean, I think everyone's actually been pretty good in this so far. I think Ben Affleck has like been the best part of this movie so far. Like the movie scene and then this one in the garage that he just went on with a rant about God favoring humans over angels. And now here's
Alan Rickman
back walking on water. Right, and he's pretty much revealing now that, oh, that's the other part of it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. God can't stop him because he's laid up. We haven't touched on that at all. The old guy that was hit in the beginning was God coming in human form. He used to come down every now and then to kind of, you know, watch over and admire what he built.
And he loves to play skee ball.
Right, that too. And so he got attacked by the, you know, devil's rejects there.
Put in a
coma. So that's why they had a comment to the Last Scion, because God could do nothing
to stop them.
Right.
And now they don't really know where God is actually right now. They don't know that that's God. They're like, you know, he hasn't had contact with God, which is why, you know, he just said the next and the only. She's kind of like the Last Scion, I guess, is break glass in case of emergency.
Right, right.
You know, if God's not around, then this is your Mjolnir or your Stormbreaker, whatever you want to call it.
He's explaining how he had the same conversation with Jesus way back when. Mm-hmm. So who does know then? Just Azrael knows that that's God?
Yeah, because he sends the hooligans to take him out.
So no one else knows that's
where he is. Because once he's laid up, once God is laid
up. He's just John Doe, whatever.
Yeah, he's John Doe because he's kept on life support, so he can't get out because the person has to die for God to get out of there.
He's going on a rant about how unfair it was to put this on Jesus' shoulders and now Bethany's. So he's more real here and not as big of an asshole.
Yes.
As he was earlier. Mm-hmm. So he is good at his job, right? I mean, he knows when to be stern. He knows when to be softer, with softer touch.
Yeah. He actually does. I mean, did you see all the Harry Potter movies?
Yes.
Yeah, and he shows this kind of range actually throughout all eight movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially in the last one.
I don't know if I've actually seen them all. I saw, all of the last, the later ones. I don't know if I ever actually saw, the first couple.
Okay. But
my wife was very into them. I was not a super, I didn't read the books.
Oh, I read the books, yeah.
I
didn't read the books until after I saw the first movie. I started reading the books. I think the first three or four were out when I first started reading them.
Yeah, she's read them all, and she saw all of them. And then I started going with her toward the end, so I've seen, the last, four or so, something like that.
Finally make our way to Wizarding World next year.
Oh, you never been? Universal?
I haven't been to Universal since 2006, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that was pretty cool. You like it.
Yeah.
I've been there a few times.
We're setting a whole day aside for just for Wizarding World.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a diehard Potter fan, there's plenty for you.
Yeah.
The main ride is really cool. All right, so he basically snapped his fingers and now we're at this fancy restaurant. So he seems like he's talked Bethany off the ledge and got her back on board. Yeah, it's great. Thinks he's basically on a high.
The voice.
The apostle. Who's this motherfucker? All right, so now he's basically opening up that they don't know where God is. So I wonder they don't really explain what God would have done to Bartleby and Loki.
Well, he probably would have, now he reveals God's a skee-ball fanatic. He probably would have fucked them up. Who knows what he would, maybe he would have sent them to hell.
Right. So basically, comes down once a month and plays.
Skee-ball.
I like how Bethany immediately has been calling God she ever since. Salma Hayek. Mm-hmm.
No. And he's like, something's going on. He's like a captive.
Right. So he's piecing it together, right? So.
Like somebody's pulling all the strings here.
Right. Right, so he's basically saying if he was killed as a human, he'd go right back to heaven. Someone knew to keep him alive.
But incapacitated.
For something that's completely fantasy and ridiculous, I think they do a good job of grounding it in some sort of realism, based on liturgy and scripture and spirituality. They actually do tie it. It's obviously, Kevin Smith is someone who knows the shit, right? I mean, because to write this and piece it all together like this, you have to have some intimate knowledge with the scripture and all that stuff. So they've done a good job tying it all together.
And he basically says that Bethany was a decoy,
right,
or bait to bring out whoever was behind this.
So they're saying it's not Lucifer because he would be back and basically trying to take back over by now if it was him.
There would have been demons everywhere. And then Jan Tom Bob,
usual, the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Kind of glick.
Piece it together. Glick.
Just shut the church for the day and they can't get in, right?
I think it's related to Jiminy Glick.
Maybe.
This little stoner's got a point.
This little stoner's got a point, isn't it, though? I used to watch that show sometimes. I love Marty Short.
He's good. That was in a little stretch, yeah. So that was out. And then, do you ever watch that? That's My Bush on Comedy Central?
No, but I saw the promos.
I thought it was pretty funny, too. It was basically a sitcom about the Bush family. I think it got bagged when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
Before 9/11, when things were fun. that. I was there, so.
So now they go meet up with Cardinal Glick here.
Catholic Church needs some panache.
It's so funny how you have George Carlin saying all these lines, because he was so outspoken against the Catholic Church.
Oh, for sure. That's why it's great. That's why I probably did it. I thought he's got the cigarette in his ear and he's playing golf with the chalice.
You know, he cast him in a few things, actually. He was in, he played Affleck's dad in Jersey Girl, right?
Yep. And he's in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back, too. He's the truck driver.
He's the hitchhiker.
Hey, straight. It's all the same.
So, yeah, they're trying to convince him to, like, you know, not have the ceremony. He's like,
So they're trying to explain it to him. Is that, what's that box of cereal on the back?
Oh,
Hosties? It's supposed to be like,
yeah.
It's supposed to be like Wheaties, but it's made of like Host or whatever.
Yeah, like Host cereal. Yeah, Hosties.
Yeah, play time with the girl. Worked for Moses.
Or some of the, well, I was an altar boy. Some, you know, some of the guys would steal the hosts. It's not a sin. They're unblessed if you take them from the box. Okay, whatever you say.
How long were you an altar boy for?
Oh, God, like 4th through 8th grade.
I never did. I think partially because the Catholic school I went to, elementary school, wasn't in the same town.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Our public school system where I lived was real shitty. So my mother worked in a different town and had me go to the Catholic school in that town because my grandparents lived there. They could pick me up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like easy for me to go. Like we didn't go to church there where I went to school, you know? So it wouldn't have been easy for me to go. And then I was never really into it. I didn't really want any part of it, honestly.
Well, like, all my friends did. It was like, literally it was across the street from our school. So you'd get out of class. The only thing that sucked is if you did the 6:45 mass. But if you did like the 8 o'clock or the 8:30 or 9 o'clock, whatever it was, you leave school for an hour and then you come back. And you get assigned other things. We, you know, we had trips. You know, we'd go on like, you know, went to Playland 1 year. We went to, whatever. So, yeah.
All right. So they're back in a bar here. Bartleby and Loki have found their way to Jersey.
Yeah. And they stole Glick's driver.
And that definitely comes into play later.
Mm-hmm.
You get poor Chris Rock's in new pants. Look at it.
Oh, Azrael shows up. Now he's going to monologue.
Right. So basically, he's keeping them hostage while he lets them go through the arch and destroys everything. And here's Serendipity to talk shit to Azrael.
The muse.
This fucking guy. He came from nothingness and I'm returning there now.
This guy's like, hey, how you doing? This is like Pasco County shit right here.
It's one for the road.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a holy bartender.
And she knows what he's going to do.
Yep. I have to put a hole in him. For the assault rifle. So he has to run his mouth to see the bartender. So we get the hockey thugs there as well, the Mighty Ducks.
Come on, I'm a demon.
Yeah. Right, so they're right. So again, he's pretty clear here that he just wants the world to end completely.
Yeah, he's like, if I can't you know, get out, then nobody's getting out.
Right.
And it reveals how he's been playing everybody. Jay gets the joke.
Holy bartender, it's a good one. They don't have Christy Todd Whitman?
No.
She was fresh off not that long ago, giving WWF the clearance.
Yeah.
Late 97. I wonder if she's supposed to be. I mean, kind of, this woman kind of looks like her.
Yeah, I think she was supposed to be a take on it.
There we go. As Bart will be giving a speech. He's really good at the speeches in this movie.
Yeah. We should just leave.
Officer McGee. what a throwaway line. Like, this is definitely one where like, this guy gets his one shot of glory and just really made a count with his absurdity.
He wouldn't like me when I'm angry. He just literally just snaps his neck.
I says, leave the nice cardinal alone and get out of here.
He's going to make the most of that line.
Everyone's scrambling. And here comes the big reveal.
Wings now.
Oh, so Azrael was amused before, too.
He was kicked out.
There you go. He's finally explaining his background, because we hadn't really gotten too much info on that.
Yeah.
But now he's explaining the Great War that tore apart heaven.
Mm-hmm. Kid, you know, big battle, angel versus angel. Basically a civil war.
Right. God threw the rebels into perdition. Mm-hmm. Azrael basically was a fence rider, sat in the middle, waiting to see who won.
Yeah. You're a chicken? No, I'm an artist.
Yeah, so he wasn't much of a, I guess he's a demon, but we thought maybe he was, I thought he was like more like Lucifer's son or some shit, but not really.
No.
Right. So he's just pissed because he was sent to hell and he felt like he shouldn't have been.
Yeah. He's like, if he was drafted into war, he'd be like, no, I'm good. I'll go work in the office. I don't have to be a soldier. You know, don't you need somebody to type?
I'm going to Canada. Just put over Elvis now. That's why he was the king and you're a schmuck. So he basically snapped while in hell, and
yeah.
His whole life now has been about trying to escape. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like DDP and The Undertaker, make me famous.
Well, how do you feel about the exposition here? Like, basically, right, the heel or the bad guy explaining the master plan kind of thing. I mean, I guess that's a trope, stereotypical.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, it's not the last time he does this. He does this in The Incredibles also, when he's Syndrome.
But I guess, I mean, they've dropped enough hints where most people could have figured out the gist of it, and now he's just kind of given the backstory. But. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, this speaks to it. Like, I think a Kevin Smith movie showing the Civil War in heaven with all this stuff with these people would have been kind of good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, you like, because Kevin Smith is so good at dialogue that you just want him to, you know, him and Tarantino are like, you know, two sides of the same coin kind of thing.
Right.
They came up about the same time. Tarantino went one direction, he went the other.
Good line there too, though. I've seen too many Bond movies to know to never give away your full intent, your full plan until it's over. And then, yeah, basically says, "Yep, you have the Scion and all this other stuff." Now you're sitting here powerless. Not even the shit monster.
Yeah. She's like, have you?
She's like, everything dies. Yeah, right. He's like, basically, have you ever been to hell? I'd rather just not even exist.
And then, you know, Looks like Serendipity's had enough of it.
I obviously have some unrealized sexual tension.
Everyone watch TV? Yeah, put Channel 9, Davy and Goliath's on. Davy. Oh, God, I remember these make us watch that show years ago.
This poor guy. He's in trouble.
Brian O'Halloran again.
There we go, using her muse powers. I'm not a man of faith, but I'm inclined to agree.
Don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. She's trying to make eyes at that's on Bob.
Right, so she's trying to get him to think to use the
dryer.
Well, not using eyes though. She's right as a muse. She can give thoughts into his head, right?
I don't know. She's like kind of inspiring him.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be. That.
What? Nothing. It's the thing in my eye. Are you serious?
Fucking evening. Yeah, I'm going to assault me with a putter. Right. Yeah, so she was trying to inspire Silent Bob through the muse powers to use the club on Azrael.
Yeah.
And he's basically giving him one shot.
He's like, come on. You're not going to hurt me. I'm a demon. Fucking shot. Like, take it.
Jacket for him. I wasn't expecting a polo under there. I would have thought it was like a button-down.
Yeah.
Burns a shirt with his finger.
She's like, okay.
Like, and this is where the payoff from the golf club comes in.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he swings it and it rips his whole insides open and kills him.
Now she wants him to go bless the sink to make it holy water.
And the idea was, they'll say it in a minute, but the Cardinal had blessed his golf club. Yeah. So that's he was able to rip through Azrael and kill him. Mm-hmm. And finally, the Mighty Ducks are all dead now.
Yeah.
Burned alive in the holy water.
Mm-hmm.
Silent Bob's like, I don't fucking know.
What the hell did I do? And Jay's just like, yeah. He just keeps hitting the guy who's dead.
Right, they basically burned in acid.
Yeah.
So you get, motherfucker.
I'm a fucking demon.
Well, he wanted to die, right?
Yeah. Well, he's out of existence now, I guess.
True. Well, yeah, that's right. Is he back to hell, though, now?
Probably. Silent Bob's an instrument of God?
Right.
He sanctified the ship.
So that was a good, them stealing the club obviously pays off big time.
Yeah. Sam Pa's just like looking at it still. We'll take the bartender's car. He won't need it.
Here we go. Back on the scene of the church. Bunch of dead people.
Mm-hmm.
But stupid as they are, they've been dicking around killing people instead of crossing through.
Yeah. Well, they haven't been made human yet. Well, no, Matt Damon.
That's true, yeah. They had to cut their wings off.
Yeah, I think only Matt Damon has his wings cut off by this point.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Bloody mess here.
So they haven't crossed through yet. You can't touch him.
So they gotta die, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, if they come out and if you kill them when they're clean, then they go back to heaven. You have to make sure that they commit a sin.
Right, and they can't kill themselves, so that's a sin.
Yeah. And there's the Cardinal, without a head.
The rosaries, which I give away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's got his wings cut off, and he is drunk. So basically he's flying up, probably just dropping people.
Yeah. Just wants to drop them.
This speaks again to the Catholic guilt and repression. There you go. If only he let us jerk off.
Who knows? He's like, oh, step back. Here comes another body.
Right? This is like, was it Dead Man on Campus when Jason Segel? You ever see that movie?
Not really. No.
No, he's a Dead Man on Campus?
That's the one with Mark Paul Gosselaar, right?
Yeah, so basically there's a character, Jason Segel, plays, or very early Jason Segel plays this character where he's basically a repressed like Catholic guilt, and he gets to college and has sex for the first time, and it's like goes completely fucking insane about it. You know what I mean? Like that's So this is Bartleby's getting late at college moment, I think.
Oh, yeah. Which means he's human, because he couldn't get drunk if he was still an angel.
Loki.
Aw, poor
So I guess it's supposed to be that Bartleby took his wings off, right?
Yeah. The muse! No way!
The tip.
They haven't gone in yet. He's like, uh-oh.
The wings were pretty good looking.
Yeah.
Pretty did cool a decent
for,
job with
for
it.
99, yeah.
Right, yeah. I say 99 CGI. It's not bad. Thought they were Prancer.
And they had practical effects on them at this point. Ooh, smacks her.
There we go.
Bethany.
So he's trying to get her on his side.
Yeah.
Compare the pain she's been through for a millennia.
For a millennia. He's a real dick here.
Oh, yeah. He's right there with his fashionable male character.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, so he's just real bitter about Earth.
Yeah. We came first, but you were more revered.
It's kind of a prodigal son thing, too, huh?
Yeah.
His perfect angels is cast aside for the flawed humans.
Yeah, see, that's the plan. They, you know, mess around so that the police come and kill them as they exit the church.
You think the police would have showed up by now?
Yeah, I mean,
they've been in a murderous rage for like 20 minutes at least. I mean, it had to be at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, it'd take them 10 miles, three towns over to run over there. So, you know, Loki's like, come on, man, I'll take you down. You can't do this.
Right. This is a drunken mess. A little face turn here for Loki toward the end.
Yeah. You're weak.
Genocide taker one.
Condition would carry two liabilities, a conscience, and short life. He stabs him right there. Sorry, but you lost the faith.
Well, they did a good job making Loki feel vulnerable and. Yeah. You almost feel bad when he dies.
Yeah, a little redemption.
Muse, not giving up. So the triple team, and now it's Jay.
And Jay takes Bethany off it. Here's the call.
Do you think they can get like something a little sexier than these slacks?
Well, no, she was in the water before with the white shirt.
Well, the shirt's not bad. It's very shows off her. Breast well, but like some tight jeans or something might have worked better than these slacks. I'm not even saying she's like a skirt or anything, just, you know, not black dress pants. Here comes ready to bang now. He's taking his pants off. If the whole world's gonna end, you said you'd fuck me. It's a great callback.
Yeah. You know, Jay's got a one-track mind.
There we go. Here's it where it all comes together. Killing your comatose like John Doe or get Mick and love. Mick with the love. It's a nice way of saying boning. And that's when it clicks for her that.
Jay always accidentally, like, you know, says
right,
something.
It out. Yeah.
Yeah, he's right over there, St. Michael's Hospital. She's just trying to get him to answer her questions. He's going to give her
there you
everything.
Go. Gets a kiss.
It's the kiss. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, chair shot failed.
Yeah. You know, Affleck no-sold it. Stall Bartleby.
Bob's the only one that can stand up to this guy. She's taking the muscle.
Yeah, I know. He's got his legs big too.
This is the apocalypse. Please enter the hospital. The guy in the fucking wheelchair getting knocked over.
Chris Rockets is getting fucked up again.
Selma Hayek's got very late 90s boots, clogs
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And here's Jay. Just falling right into the plan.
But he hasn't gone to the church yet, has he?
No, but he hasn't become human yet either.
Right.
So on purpose, you know, he dives so that Jay will, you know, what he does here is he shoots off his wings. He's doing, you know, that was probably part of Affleck's plan.
Oh, definitely,
that's
yeah.
probably why he didn't kill anybody yet. Because he needs to become human, but he can't tear off his own wings.
Right. So is it supposed to be that he cut Loki's off?
Yeah, I think so. Why wouldn't Loki cut his off then? Maybe Loki just wasn't down yet or just...
Oh, he couldn't.
Or got drunk.
Once he got cut off, he lost his power, got drunk.
Yeah, it could be.
And he was a pure soul. He wasn't. Yeah. He would never think to betray his friend like that.
Mm-hmm. Now the plan's coming into a... focus.
You have lived for 1,000 years. Would it be kind of weird to die?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Like, would you take continuance to live in Milwaukee for 1,000 years, or would you risk it for this?
I don't know. I think the summers are nice in Milwaukee, I would guess. You know, go to some Brewers games. I mean, you know, how far is Green Bay from there? You check out the Packers. I mean, they don't have a hockey team, but, you know.
Right. It'd be interesting to live for all the generations to see how things change.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, just think about what was going on 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, I guess they can't jerk off now, so. She's really assuming this guy's God, by the way. Yeah. Kind of roll the dice here.
Well, it's the apocalypse,
some random guy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's bleeding from her stigmata, basically, right?
Yeah. He tries to enter the church and...
No go.
Nope.
God has arrived. Alan Rickman and...
what is more set?
Portraying God.
Very hippie-esque.
Was Wisconsin really that bad?
Bow down, stupid.
She's like, where's Dave Coulier?
She was cute on... when I was a kid, I remember her on You Can't Do That on Television. She was only on it for like a season. And all of a sudden when, you know, the whole, was it Jagged Little Pill, I think was her
right.
big album. That was circa, what, 93, 94, around there.
I feel like they really missed the opportunity to have Alan Rickman do quotes from the songs that they're in the scene. You ought to know, Bartleby.
Bartleby, isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like getting your wings cut off on your wedding day. Basically, anybody cover their ears? Jay, cover your ears.
And it wasn't dead from another plane of existence.
because you can't know human.
Right. Can't hear God speak. Yeah.
Yeah. And he finally just says thank you for ending his pain.
Well, and forgiving him.
Yeah. And poof.
So is this just meant, though, that she killed him, or is he going back to heaven now?
I don't think he goes back to heaven.
Well, he's a human, and he died. He's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, I think he goes to hell.
Yeah, but she forgave him.
I don't know.
Are we supposed to believe God really just killed this person? I mean, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking she forgave him, so yeah, he could go to heaven. Because he said thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she ended his pain. I know that.
The fuck is this shit?
I love this rant. Who the fuck are you, lady? What the fuck did you hug my head? Put a little mouth on him. Was it the piano?
It's broad talking.
What the fuck are the guys saying? God kissed him on the cheek. Bethany faded all out. Clever girl, that one.
Do you think that it's supposed to be that God was definitely a woman? Or is this like you're viewing him how you want to view her, basically?
Yeah. I guess how Bethany would view her. Since it's Bethany's story.
And God blinked everything back to normal.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the Avengers when they snapped.
I'm pushing it. Spoil it for me.
You ever see, what, any of them?
None. I'm getting through the shows first. I almost don't Daredevil season 3.
They have nothing to do with them.
I know. Then I'm going to watch the movies is my point.
So you haven't seen any of the 22 MCU movie 20, how many they are up to this point?
Get it out, Sherlock. That's what I just said.
I know. Wow, you got a lot of viewing.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to do it in the theatrical order, or then there's also that whatever order that... There's a chronological order.
I don't know yet.
Talk to the HTFs.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. All right, so basically he's offered the muse to come back to heaven. Mm-hmm. So Silent Bob is carrying Bethany, who has seemingly bled out from her stigmata in her gut from when she rescued God.
Mm-hmm. She's like, Silent Bob, sorry, he's all crying.
One of the drawbacks of being a martyr is that you have to die.
There's a God as a Mr. Miyagi, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, she didn't really
die. Yeah. Wax on.
She doesn't kill.
I love how she does the whole hand thing, just like Pat Morita.
Pat Tanaka.
Pat Tanaka.
And she's healed.
And she's alive.
So Bob's happy. It's this chick.
She can rebuild you. She has the technology. Nice little $6 million man callback.
And now God's going to play in the grass.
Yes. That's one very relieved deity.
There you go, like a proud father. Yeah. You wonder if Bethany has some daddy issues. And...
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know, I'm the last scion.
Not the last scion.
You're half right.
And he makes her pregnant.
I mean, you know, we just can't end with her.
Can't put anything past you.
God, just trying to do handstands.
Aren't we all?
She.
You just ruined the reveal. You didn't get no gender reveal party. You know, you're having a girl.
Yeah, those weren't really a thing yet in 99.
Yeah, I know.
I need a sequel where we find out if Bartleby went to heaven or not.
You know,
if you're listening and you know, tell us.
Got to go on one of those Kevin Smith Q&As that he does.
And I want the sequel where they show the Civil War in heaven.
Ah, there you go.
I feel like, has that movie been made yet, like, about that? There must be some.
There could be something, yeah. I think that that Amazon show is kind of like that. The one with the angel and the devil or whatever it is. I forgot what it's called, but that's actually a Marvel I think it's a Marvel property, or that's a... Oh, Christ, I'm trying to remember who the guy who was who wrote it.
Don't spoil it.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
So now all our friends are leaving, going to heaven. Muse headed back out of the strip club. So did they say why she left? Did she like sneak away or something because she wanted to
strip? I don't know.
Well, she was tired of being the Muse, like she wanted to be a person or whatever.
Maybe.
I feel like we missed that part.
Yeah. Maybe she came down to inspire people on Earth.
Yeah, it was something like that. Like, I feel like she wanted to get out of there or something. Mm-hmm. Let me see her here. And starting to be the muse of creative inspiration, now working a strip club in search of her own inspiration. Yeah, I think she got tired of inspiring the others, and she wanted to find her own.
Are you saying you believe? No, but I have a good idea.
Yes.
Rufus is very happy to hear that.
She listened. That's right. I guess he always said Jesus was black, not God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the second line. He says, thanks.
Got to put a good word for you. Thanks.
Thanks.
He wants to name the kid after him. Goes Rufus back to heaven. Mm-hmm. You think Bethany updates the Bible after this?
I mean, she was the last Zion.
Is it sad that her only friends left are Jay and Silent Bob now? And Jenny Garofalo, I guess, somewhere.
Jenny Garofalo, yeah.
So would you have... Oh, we should go to Quick Stop. Would you have recast... Like, do you have any issues with any of the casting in this?
No. I think at the time, no. Man.
I got half a stalk when she kissed me. It was pretty good. I mean, maybe... I don't know if there's anyone else that could have been in the Bethany role.
99. Oh God, I don't know.
Was what's her name? Was too young, probably.
Shan Doherty.
No, she was too acerbic. Clueless.
Oh, Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, she could have. I guess she could have been Bethany.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of whoever was the It Girls at that time.
Oh God, if you think it.
I mean, she was fine, but I thought Affleck and Damon were really good. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, you have to have Jason Lee, you know, and Jason Mewes, and, you know, they're going to be in it. Mm-hmm. I thought Chris Rock was fine. No, I mean, I thought everyone was good. I don't think I'd really change much.
Yeah. I'm going through the cast now.
So where do you put this in the Skewerverse, if you had to rank? Rank the big ones. Like, you don't have to do them all. Do Clerks, Mallrats... Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jane, Silent Bob's Right Back. End it there. Do you like the original kind of?
I'd say it's. I mean, I do like the original Clerks, but I mean, as a movie, I think this is better. I mean, Mallrats is my number one. Jane, Silent Bob probably be like number two because I just love the cross country stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, Clerks too. As it's funny. But it's just crosses the line way too much, I think. It would be... This would probably be... I'd probably put this a hair above Chasing Amy, I think.
Yeah, Chasing was all right. I felt like it was too much talking in that movie. You know what I mean? Like too much introspection, too much over the top. Ben Affleck's like really fucking annoying in that one. You know what I mean? Like, like I'd probably have that last, I guess. God, I feel like James and Bob is like the nostalgic answer to be like number two. But I think this was probably a better movie than that. So I'd probably put these next to each other. Yeah, it almost feels like Clerks is like the WrestleMania one. Like you feel like you have to rank it high, but when you compare the other ones, you know.
I mean, Amazing Man was made by maxing out credit cards.
Right. Right, yeah. So, I mean, you got to give a credit for that. It's tough. I mean, and they're all pretty close.
And it was Johnny and I, we ranked our Tarantino movies as director. And it's like, you know, as Pulp Fiction is probably everybody's number one. But, you know, Reservoir Dogs, you know, is because it was his first? I mean, is it supposed to get ranked high or, you know, should have... Other like Kill Bills or Jackie Brown or Hateful Eight, you know, should those or Django be ranked higher? So yeah, it's all in I guess what you relate to.
Right.
All right. Well, that was a fun movie. It's a movie I actually haven't seen in completely end to end in a while.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's not one you catch like on cable or HBO or anything every now and then. You know what I mean? And in this era where you don't throw a lot of DVDs on, if it's not on a streaming service. You're unlikely to probably catch it. You know what I mean? Unless maybe it pops up on one of the 15 HBO channels at some point, but I definitely had not seen it in a while. So I enjoyed rewatching it. I thought it went by pretty quick considering it's a long movie. It's over 2 hours,
but
it moves. Like I can't think of too many scenes in there that felt like unnecessary or gratuitous. Like I thought they all kind of fit. I don't think it fell into the usual sandbox of Kevin Smith movies with like tons of worthless dialogue. Like I thought they made a count. Like it wasn't a ton of rambling, you know, that he was known for. So I thought it was more focused than most of his.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an interesting topic. Like it's something you don't see explored a lot, regardless of our feelings or my feelings with Catholicism today. Like I think it stands out to make you at least think, you know, compared to some of his other stuff. Like I think it's probably his most thought provoking movie anyway, when you think of where you stand and how you act with all this and where do you, you know, what do you believe and would you believe and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't know if this could be made today. Ooh, one of Rotella's was an effect artist on this movie.
Gosh, the only effects you can do is stumbling over and sound like a dope.
But, I think he definitely has something to say. It's something that was probably on his mind for a long time. And once he got the clout to make it, you know, I don't know if something like this could be made today. I mean, you know, you'd be protesting and there'd be, you know, Facebook pages against this, you know, CNN, Fox News would be doing stories on the movie.
Yeah, again, that speaks to the politicalization of it. Like, I'm not saying they weren't always leaning that way, but, you know, it's even more so these days than it was then. So it's like it's so tied into that. There's no, yes, it would be supremely politicized and just, you know, all tied into the police and the kneeling for the flag, and now they're taking shots at the church, you know, like, so that would be tied into that. It would definitely, no way this gets made today. I mean, it was just, it came during a time where things were a little bit more, not that religion was radicalized or a hot button issue back then, but it wasn't nearly as divisive as it is today, just because it's become such a part of the divisiveness of the political landscape.
Yeah. Very good. So, good pick.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was good. Like I said, I wanted to pick something that could lead to some additional discussion beyond just talking about the movie. So I thought we were able to do that. I'm glad you get you to open up a little bit there toward the end about your views on stuff. So that was good.
Yeah.
It's part of my goals.
Yeah. That's what we do around here. We try to get people to open up.
Right? Yeah. You've had a tough couple of weeks. You know, you can put through the ringer on talking pop.
Yeah.
Now,
get me back to the fluff of urine pop and, you know, great debate and stuff like that.
There you go. I'll be back talking Science Man event before you know it. So
there you go.
Every now and then I get to branch out, you know.
So what do you got coming up over there on the wrestling feed?
I don't know. When's this airing?
It depends on when Todd gets, feels like putting it up. I mean,
hear this, I could definitely tell you would have heard episode 2 of the ECW three-way dance, 16 three-way dance show. So you'll hear about our thoughts on the night the line was crossed. That is a lock. You'll very likely have heard the return of Wrestling Warzone. That should be back as well with me and Chad. I think we're at the night after the Rumble, 96 Rumble. So that'll be an interesting one. Obviously, that's a pretty big episode. PTB podcast, you should be hearing that If you haven't heard it, you know, if it's not out yet, we'll be reviewing the 11/25/89 house show. That's right after Survivor Series, the show from MSG. And I think that's everything. They'll probably be in a whole bar at some point. I actually am talking to Don about another dad cast soon, or daddy cast, as some call it. We had a potential guest reach out to us about wanting to be on. So that'll be interesting. I won't spoil.
Okay, for me, we may get a special here on the Pop Feed, looking at the Greatest Song of the 80s Round 2 preview, which just started today. That would be me and your PIC, Mr. Coscolo. We got Looking Forward, Looking Back is coming back in a big way. We got our first sports theme episode, which, Justin, you may be on. We have Year in Pop 1977 coming up. And then our summer, our fall and movie winter movie previews coming up at the end of August for Looking Forward, Looking Back. And then in September, we have our big summer movie wrap-up, and we reveal the results of the summer movie wager and see which of us correctly or got the most correct answers in the domestic box office predictions.
I believe Chris Cola picked Sack Lunch to finish second, right?
Yes. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it could be anybody. It's anybody's game right now, actually, I think. Last time I checked, we're still waiting on Hobbs and Shaw. And really, Lion King to do a little more. And the only thing that could move the needle would be Angry Birds 2, which is a funny sentence to hear. But nothing else coming out for kids around that time. So it's hot. You know, you want to get the kids in air conditioning for a couple hours. Here, watch this.
I could do one for the Adora movie. We're taking my niece and my little cousins to go see that for their birthday in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's all yours, Justin. Nobody will.
Yeah.
You want to do your first Pop Goes the Movie?
Pop Goes the Movies.
Pop Goes the Movies, Dora the Explorer. You know, Justin, you want to make your debut on that series with that movie? Go ahead.
I'll be back on with Todd for Binge Please. We'll talk Jessica Jones season one, 15 seasons behind where I'm at right now.
But. Yeah, so. Yeah, I got to the Defenders, and I haven't gone back, so...
I've actually passed a lot of these people, I think, that are super into these the world and the comics. I think I've surpassed multiple by almost finishing Daredevil 3. I think all I have left, I believe, is Jessica Jones 3 and Punisher 2, and I think I'm done.
Ah. And then, you know, hopefully in a couple of years they become part of the MCU. You
know? Hopefully. Yeah, it is sad knowing, like, because a couple of them have ended on cliffhangers. Like, Luke Cage 2 ended on a pretty good cliffhanger. Iron Fist 2 did as well. I'm sure Daredevil's going to up to the finale. I'm going to watch that this week when I go back to the gym one of these days this week. That's where I watched them mainly, is at the gym.
Yeah, I had a little deal with myself a while ago. Like, I'd only allow myself to watch the Netflix shows if I was on my exercise bike. And I held up with that for a while and then kind of fell apart. Now, actually, I think it shorted out. So there goes that. I'm watching Veronica Mars season 4 right now on Hulu. I got a couple episodes in, so with my girl Kristen Bell. All right, cool. So once again, I want to say thank you to Mr. Rosero for joining me tonight on Laugh-In Theater. But for now, the theater is closed, and we'll see you on the next show. Take care, everybody. But never, never on a
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobination.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com.
wrestlingobserver.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay. Okay.
Oh God.